Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and we begin this here Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And it is, in fact, the first day of December 2015, a brand new month. The final one of this year that we arbitrarily date 2015 of the Common Era, well, is upon us. And let's make the best of it, shall we? Let's. Well, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, this begins a brand new month, and, well, what better time if you're new to the program after last week. If you are, hey, welcome. Why don't you join us over in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room? It's real easy to jump in there, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and bang, you'll be right there amongst the merrymakers in the multimedia extravaganza real-time that is what goes on between 6 and 9 p.m. here Monday through Friday. Good evening, Anatole in the chat room. Good evening, Blue Ape. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Tim from L.A. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become this evening Man Cave. And I'm sure more people will be along presently. I'm going to find it. Agnes put the cowbell where it couldn't possibly make any noise during the Malloy broadcasts, and I got to find out where it went, because it comes in handy. It is, in fact, yes, indeed, it is Titanic Tuesday on the horn. You know, we reserve Titanic Tuesday for those particularized moments of attempts at right-wing intellect that just really make us feel like we've had our toe stomped. Just, or maybe make you feel like you've just, that sort of noises you make when you hit your thumb with a hammer, that kind of thing. Yeah. You get the idea. And it being Titanic Tuesday, you might recall that Titanic Tuesday is named for an utterance by a right-wing intellect over Beckley Way, who years ago answered a question from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers about why there were seashells in the rock formations of West Bicod, Virginia, by answering it was because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Yes, yes, yes. No word yet on the movement of the Titanic cupcake tins. Sorry. But that's what it's about, and God knows, I think we've got plenty to work with this evening. It seems we never find ourselves wanting, but I wanted to begin, well, okay, back up. Gentle reminder time, we keep this all going by virtue of listener contributions, which is the only way this all stays going, and I want to extend some thanks. I want to extend some big thanks for helping get us out of a hole most of the way out of the hole that we were in. Thanks go out in particular to Randy and to Catherine. Thank you very kindly. And thank you again to Dr. John for making the challenge last night. Thank you, all of you. That being the case, we have $425 to raise this evening. And since it is the first day of the month, That means we have on the table Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Mm-hmm. Shirley does that every month at the first of the month. It helps us try to get out ahead a little bit. There's a challenge on the table. Shirley will match the first $200 that comes in so that, we begin with a little bit of a cushion. In this particular case, it would be particularly helpful because, again, counting this evening, we have a $425 deficit. Yes? Yes. So we need a response to Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, if you please. That would be 10 at 20, 20 at 10. Yeah. And that would go a long way toward closing the deficit. Mm-hmm. Actually, it would go everything but $25 toward closing the deficit. So any help is much appreciated. Now, I've just found out the stream has not been released, so that means that nobody listening live has heard a word that I have said, but at least you're going to hear it on the podcast, when you listen at your leisure. Time out, then, while I try to get our stream back. Stand by, please. I sure hope we have the stream back now. It's 8 minutes past the hour, and the emails have begun to fly in. Hey, where are you? I'm right here. I'm right chair. Yeah. And hopefully, things will normalize in a moment. Yay! Thank you, Carol Baker. You're on! We are, and we are live. So I'll go ahead and repeat what I said a few minutes ago. We begin the broadcast this evening with a $425 deficit that has been substantially reduced. Thank you to Randy and to Catherine. And thank you to Dr. John for the challenge last night. Thank you to Henry, and thank you to Jay. Thank you to Carol. Thank you to Jug of Punch. Thank you to everybody who's responded to help us crawl out of what was otherwise an ugly little hole. We got $425 to raise this evening. And for that's 42 at 10, 10 at 40. Blah, blah, blah. But most importantly, Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. There it is. There's the cowbell. Agnes found the cowbell. I'm so happy. Yes. Well, I didn't mean to drop it on the desk like that. Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the clock for the remainder of the program. If we can raise $200, Shirley will double it. We'll double your contribution. 5 becomes 10, 10, 20, 25, 50, 50, 100, 100, 200. 200 becomes 4, up to the first $200. And that will make life considerably simpler, and we can go forward without being in a hole here right at the very beginning of December 2015. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob, and it was great hearing you you in the chair from Alloy. That was a lot of fun, Jeremy, a lot of fun indeed. Okay, so, yes, Jug of Punch, that's 17 people at $25. Well, there will be more cowbell, dear. There really will be more cowbell. Yes. I got a fever. Yes, as Carol Baker notes, we love Agnes.
Love you, Carol.
Thanks, Tom, letting me know you're up, Bob. I appreciate it. And hopefully by now, Smitty, noted, I'm trying to get you on TuneIn. I get Rick Smith. Are you okay? Thanks. Yeah, everything's fine. Thank you, Smitty. Thank you, David. Kim in New York with a Lucy, what happened? No show tonight? No, we've got a show tonight. And I have to respond via email on these things because you never know when people are going to restart their streamers or whatever. I better add a now to that. Oh, multitasking. But, you know, I'm glad you guys care. Let's see. Yeah, there. Mm-hmm. So I think we've taken care of that part of it. I got a couple of great emails to begin the program this evening. Carol said, I heard that. You may recall last night we began the program with some idiocy from the New York Times. And lo and behold, it turns out we've got it again this evening. I don't go looking around to start the program with some stupid from the New York Times, but because I value his opinion on such things, I sent the New York Times story about the wine of King David and Be Jesus being recreated in Israel. And Dr. John wrote back and said, pardon the expression, but Jesus! I'm of a few minds on this, I guess. I generally support resurrecting, there I go again, old cultivars, and I tend to think favorably about food and drink being held up as markers of heritage. Same, same, John, same, same, right there. But this is like, I don't know, a bunch of Dutch trying to genetically engineer the actual breed of mistletoe that Santa Claus would have stood under, or something. Why can't they just revive a lost indigenous grape and make wine out of it? Oh yeah, because religion. Which is about the size of it. But I'm glad to have a little confirmation on that, because I read that story and just, what? Thank you, Robert. Robert, there you are, loud and clear in Oz. Good, 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 good. Oh, I did that before we had the stream back. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. See, I get this email from Tim from L.A., the subject line, your name, and then I open it in great goddamn big bold letters with a question mark, your name? I'm Bob. Okay. Yeah. But as I said, I got a lot of responses regarding what it was that I was doing earlier yesterday. Agnes and I got up early this morning and went bebopping back down to the funeral parlor and tore down and loaded out the equipment. It's just a sad business. But all too predictable in a place like West Virginia, and I guess in the wider United States as well. Maybe if it's your region, you feel, I don't know. It's just damn sad. And I got notes of condolence from a lot of folks in the Horn community, and for that I'm very thankful and very appreciative. And then I got this note from Steve in New York. We got two Steve notes to deal with here. And this is from Steve in New York City. And he says, first, I want to extend my sincere condolences to Ferg and the young woman's family. Second, something Carol Baker wrote in made me write. Carol mentioned that the young woman received more acceptance than she did from peers and family. This statement really underscores something LGBT folk, at least this LGBT folk, I don't want to speak for anyone but me, have longed for. Oftentimes we hear people talk of tolerance of people who are different from us. The more I have thought about that notion, though I'm sure those who espouse that are sincere in their views, the more I have despised that sentiment. And when I read that the first time through, I thought I knew where Steve was going, and I wholeheartedly share it, because Steve makes very clear what he means. Perhaps it's a start, but the term tolerance is not a good sentiment. That term assumes several very unsavory sentiments. It assumes that anybody who is a minority is subject to the whims of the majority. Its expression reinforces that the majority has power over the minority, and that the minority should seek the good graces of the majority. While in reality the majority does have power over a minority, this is not something to aspire to, One tolerates something that is unpleasant and unwanted. One tolerates pain. One tolerates a mother-in-law. One tolerates chronic cancer. This is why Carol's words were so poignant. We need to emphasize acceptance of minority people, whether it's sexual minorities, racial minorities, etc. Of course, this still contains the remnants of the power that the majority has over the minority. However, straight people need to accept LGBT people as equals. White people need to accept black folks as equals. I can tell you as a gay person, Steve says, I don't want your tolerance. I don't want the law's tolerance. I demand the law's acceptance of me. Just some thoughts on yet another tragic weekend, both tragic in the national and the scope and psyche and the horn psyche. And yes, yes. But I agree wholeheartedly, Steve. Truly, I do. When, and you know, it's interesting because that word bothers the upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians, too. Well, we can't tolerate that because God done said it was a sin. More on sinning in a moment. I know it's not prayer meeting Wednesday, but, you know, damn, it's not like I've got any control over some of this bilge. But I get it. I get it, Steve. I really, really do. Meanwhile, let's back that up. Note from Steve 2, this one, this Steve, being our friend Steve in China. Glad to have you back on the regular program again, Bob. Thank you, Steve. I'm tickled pink to be back. Excuse this little note, and by the way, the subject line on the note is ready, aim, whimper. Excuse this little note after the fact, but I know that you, as all of us here, are exasperated beyond belief with the ongoing and incredible epidemic of gun madness that is gripping the country like never before. You asked at some point Monday evening, and I'm sure in utter frustration, as much as rhetorically, and I did ask in frustration, and I did ask rhetorically, Steve, but I also asked in sincere actuality whether there would ever come a time or an instance of such violence that could finally make us go ahead and do the right thing and get sane and sober, I add editorially, about how we treat firearms in this country. For some reason, Steve continues, your words suddenly crystallized for me an attitude I've held for some time, without ever wishing to admit it. For me, it ended at last with the horror of Sandy Hook, and with the absolute disgrace of yet again nothing being done to address the insanity. Words, words, words. Posturing and words. But long before that, Steve adds, there was Columbine, wasn't there? Just to name one other in a long list of schoolyard tragedies. And that is part of the problem, my problem. Even when I am a member of the generation that has to acknowledge such a category as schoolyard massacre, well, here I am, anxiously awaiting the next fusillade in a country where such a reasonable thing as an assault weapons ban has an expiration date. Expiration date is in all caps, but I choose not to scream at you so early in the program. Although maybe it is warranted. Well, onward to better kills, I suppose. Regards, Steve, in China. Steve's there in China and can probably answer a question. When was the last schoolyard massacre involving semi-automatic assault weapons-style, military-style firearms in China? No, Tiananmen Square does not count. That's a different thing. When was it? Ever? But we'll have another one day after tomorrow. Or day after tomorrow. Or maybe right before the kiddies go on Christmas break. Or maybe it won't be a school. Maybe it'll be a mall. Or maybe it won't be a mall. Maybe it'll be a church. Or maybe it won't be a school or a mall or a church. Maybe it'll be a senior citizen center. Or maybe it won't be a mall or a church or a school or a senior citizen center. Maybe it'll be a bowling alley. But the thing is, we are abso-goddamn-lutely guaranteed that it will be something and it will be somewhere. Well, wait. We know one place it will not be. It will not be, because it's not due to happen in a while, but there will never be a massacre at an NRA convention. You know, the National NRA Convention? Mm-hmm. Like the NRA had in Denver right after the Columbine shooting, because it just would have been wrong not to celebrate firearms after. Right. There will never be a massacre at an NRA convention. Why? Well, because, first of all, the people who commit these massacres are ideologically aligned with the NRA, so they're not prone to kill their own. But two, even though that is an absolute truth, two, well, the NRA makes sure that nobody can bring a weapon into their convention space, because the NRA deserves a safe space in which to have their clavern meetings, and in which for their pasty-faced, doughy, mostly white, old, cranky, old, racist, bigot, disgusting men and their compliant spouses to talk their crazy insurrectionist, anti-constitutional, anti-civil governance talk. But you don't deserve that at a Planned Parenthood clinic. You, American citizen, don't deserve that at a bowling alley. You don't deserve that at a senior center. You don't deserve that at school. You don't deserve that in church. And you don't deserve that at a mall. You don't deserve it on a quaint holiday Main Street with the local evergreens festooned with tinsel and lights, and the speaker system blaring out Christmas carols for the shoppers. You don't deserve that. Do you understand that? If you deserved that, you would have that. But what America, what the National Rifle Association has decided you deserve is the opportunity to have your blood shed and your life wasted so that Wayne LaPierre can draw his breath and his pay for yet another goddamn day. That, America, is what you deserve. You deserve funeral homes. You deserve body identifications. You deserve crime scenes where pieces of people are lying around. That, America, is what you deserve, and that is what has been determined that you deserve by the NRA and the compliant, pustulant, pusillanimous, ignorant, money-grubbing, sick freaks who take their money inside the Congress of the United States and inside the various and sundry legislatures and governor's offices all over this country. That, by God, is what you deserve. You deserve Columbine. You deserve Virginia Tech. You deserve Sandy Hook. You deserve Aurora, Colorado. You deserve Tucson. You deserve it all, because they have determined that you deserve it. And they don't give a good God damn how many times it happens. Because it's good for them, as long as it doesn't happen at the NRA convention. So yeah, Steve, onward to better kills. In a community to be named later. That's how it goes. That is how it goes. And like I said, for this Titanic Tuesday, sweet jumping Jesus, we get to work with the New York Times again. I said last night, I said last night that I'd pen a letter to the public editor of the New York Times about that stupid Israeli wine story. The wine that King Solomon and King David and Jesus drank. Hey, I decided it ain't worth it. So, why bother? And then, as if I needed confirmation that it's not worth it, that this kind of crap is apparently going to become de rigueur for the New York Times, I got this. And it's a follow-up on Robert Deere, the man who murdered up the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. The headline, and of course we understand that the author, in this case Richard Fawcett, Richard Fawcett, is not responsible for the writing of the headline, so he's off the hook on that. The New York Times is one of those places that still miraculously has things like copy editors who write headlines and editors who make sure that the copy is grammatically correct and works within the style handbook guide of the New York Times and all that important journalism-y stuff. So the headline says, "For Robert Deere, religion and rage before Planned Parenthood attack." You think? Well, let's just read a little bit of the text. Dateline, Charleston, South Carolina. Where have I heard that? Oh, never mind. The man she had married professed to be deeply religious. But after more than 7 years with Robert L. Deere, Jr., Barbara Michaud had come to see life with him as a kind of hell on earth. Really, Babs? Because I'm pretty sure that the three people who died, you know, the mom and the police officer and the Iraq War veteran, I'm pretty sure they got a better claim to life, hell on earth than you do, sister. By January 1993, she had enough. In a sworn affidavit as part of her divorce case, Ms. Michaud described Mr. Deere as a serial philanderer and a problem gambler, a man who kicked her, beat her head against the floor, and fathered two children with other women while they were together. Remember, this is 1993, so that would be 20 years ago, when he was a younger man. He found excuses for his transgressions, she said, in his idiosyncratic views on Christian eschatology and the nature of salvation. In that court document, Ms. Michaud may be seen to state, under oath, "He claims to be a Christian and is extremely evangelistic, whatever that means, but does not follow the Bible in his actions," Ms. Michaud said in a court document. "He says that as long as he believes he will be saved, he can do whatever he pleases. He is obsessed with the world coming to an end." Okay, I think we're going to have to spend a few minutes with this. You probably don't want to, and I don't much want to either. But sometimes we do things on this program we don't necessarily want to do. And there's some lovely prose here. "On Friday, according to officials, Mr. Deere entered a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs, killing three people and wounding nine others with a semi-automatic rifle. The attack, which ended with his surrender to the police after a harrowing nationally televised standoff in the snow-dusted western city." I mean, Jesus Christ, one of these days we're going to be able to have sound effects with news stories on the web, because snow-dusted western city. Wah, wah, wah. "Was a brutally violent and very public chapter in a life story whose details are not fully known." They're beginning to sound more and more like the History Channel. see last night. The wine that Jesus and King David and Hezekiah drank. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this is, I know that, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, our Canadian presidential candidate, will deny this, but this guy was a Christian. And see, one of the things that I object to in this story is the attempt by the reporter to make it seem as though Robert Deere was anything but a mainstream Christian. Hence the quote from his ex-wife, Ms. Michaud. He claims to be a Christian and is extremely evangelistic, but does not follow the Bible in his actions. Really? Doesn't he? I can point you to several passages in the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament, which is the province of the really, really nasty bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky god, in which the children of Israel behave exactly as Robert Deere did, and actually more brutally. You know, kill, where was it? Oh, I'd have to look it up, but I know it's there. Where's that passage where God tells the children of Israel to go and slaughter everybody except all the virgins, which there are then supposed to be raped by the children, by the soldiers of the children of Israel. And I think the choicest virgins, if I recall correctly, get saved, set aside so they can be raped by the priesthood. It's there. I'm not kidding. It really, really is there. But this idea that he was some sort of wacky Christian? Bull. 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 On one site, back on October 7th, 2005, Robert Deere wrote, "Turn to Jesus or burn in hell!" And then comes the caps lock. I'll save you from the screaming. "Wake up, sinners. You can't save yourself. You will die, and worms," "and worms shall eat your flesh. Now your soul is going somewhere." That's what the Bible teaches. You don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Guess what? Lake of fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's back up for a moment, because I want you to understand what it was that made me actually go and read this story in the first place, something for which I'll probably regret it. So when the New York Times wants you to read something, they send you a breaking news alert. I'm not special. A lot of other people get it. But I guess there's entirely somebody different in the online department of the New York Times whose job is to write up link-baity subject lines for their breaking news alerts. In this case, special report. Wait a minute. Special report. The suspect in the Colorado rampage was a recluse who longed for women and mixed religion with rage. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So here's so you get the read more link, but there's a teaser there. You get that headline again in the body of the email, and then this. And you wonder just, who wrote this? I mean, 2 days in a row. In court documents and interviews with people who knew Robert Deere, the suspect in an attack on a Planned Parenthood on Friday that killed 3 people, a picture emerges. He was a man of religious conviction who sinned openly, and a man who successfully wooed women, but some of them say also abused them. Really, New York Times, we've just gone full Fox. We're using the some say attribution now. Really, okay, journalism's dead. Some of them say, how about at least one woman says? Maybe there were two. Maybe 2 women say. How about 3? We got 3. Can I get 4? I got 3. I got 3 going once. I got 3 going twice. 4. Can I get 4? But that's not really what got under my skin. Here's what got under my skin. He was a man of religious conviction who sinned openly. Really? Yeah. Well. Who sinned openly. Well, just dip me in batter and call me Fritter. Since when is the paper of record for the United States of America in the business of determining what sin is? And what are the and within which belief system are those things sins? Damn it, I was out today and I forgot to stop at the liquor store and get the tequila. Son of a... I guess you'll have that. Who sinned openly. I read that earlier and it just... I was stunned. Is the New York Times just like anybody else, Gawker, whatever... And it's all about the clickbait. Who sinned openly? In what belief system, New York Times? I mean, maybe I could live with it if it said who within the strictures of the faith system to which he claimed to adhere, comma, sinned openly. I mean, it's the New York Times. We expect a little bit of it. Granted, they write on a sixth grade level now, but it's okay to throw in a little bit of linguistic complexity within sentence structure once in a while in a situation like that. Sinned openly. What? Maybe he was an Orthodox. Maybe he was a bad Orthodox Jew, and he wore clothing of multiple different kinds of fibers, or maybe he sat down to a great big pork chop with a glass of milk or something. You know, one of those things that the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky will send you straight to hell because he loves you so much for. Maybe he was a gyne. Maybe Robert Deere was a gyne and he freely and openly stomped on ants or burned them with magnifying glasses or something. That'll get you in some real shit in the gyne religion, okay? Because nope, you don't get to kill nothing if you're a gyne. I mean, that's one of your sins. Maybe he was a Hindu and walked up and said, "Hey, Ganesh, you want a peanut?" Is sinning against one of the happier gods in the Hindu pantheon. Maybe he tried to pluck the feathers off of the feathered serpent, Quetzalcoatl. You don't do that either. And I'd try to come up with a Buddhist sin, but, well, yeah, who knows? Who knows? Because New York Times journalism. Yay! One person who spoke with him extensively about his religious views said Mr. Deere, who is 57, had praised people who attacked abortion providers, saying they were doing God's work. And see, that's the thing. Within the Christian construct, maybe they are. Because Jesus' daddy is notorious throughout his own holy book for killing people. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for bad reasons, and sometimes for no reason at all. One of the babbling prophets of the Old Testament was a bald guy. And some little kids made fun of him, and the Old Testament tells you right then and right there that God sent a bear to gobble up the little kids for making fun of the prophet's bald spot. Man, that's a loving God. This is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday. It is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday. It's Titanic Tuesday. Of course, whoever it was that said that he said that killing abortion providers was God's work, remember, there were no abortions being provided at the Colorado Springs Clinic, but you don't need that. That doesn't matter. It's symbolism, okay? It's just like, it's like trying to interpret American Pie. It's just symbolic. I mean, those were symbolic murders, okay? To save the symbolic fetuses. In 2009, the person who spoke on the condition of anonymity out of concerns for the privacy of the family, really? Mr. Deere described as heroes members of the Army of God, a loosely organized group of anti-abortion extremists that has claimed responsibility for a number of killings and bombings. He is an alumnus, Mr. Deere is, of both the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville. Apparently, they've been able to dig into pretty significantly to Mr. Deere's background. And it goes on and on. This guy's a scumbag, okay? He's made himself a public figure, and so we can use real language to describe him. He slaughtered 3 people and wounded 9, and that makes him a scumbag. It goes on and on about his divorce and his separation from Ms. Michaud. Yeah. He was a predator and a murderer. Ms. Michaud said, I tried to stick with him and help him through it, but it has become impossible. He constantly criticizes everyone around him, and he is very hard to please. He really does not have any friends. He does not trust anyone. He looks for a good way around anything he has to do and spends a lot of time planning revenge. And sometimes he erupts into fury. It seems like he has emotional problems and needs counseling, which he vehemently opposed many times. They've been divorced since June 1994. And yet, this guy legally got, I want to be clear about this, this guy legally obtained, with no trouble at all, a firearm. Because, well, I mean, if you're walking around in your Jesus is Lord t-shirt, that automatically means that you're probably qualified to own a firearm. Because, you know, America. Wolverines! Yeah. So just remember, when he went to get his firearm, nobody asked him twice. Nobody thought twice. Nobody looked twice. Nobody said, "Wow," and we've seen the photo, the mugshot. Nobody looked at him and said, "Yeah, are we sure we want to sell him a gun?" Of course you want to sell him a gun, because America, the greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, amen. See? He was more likely to write brief and emphatic messages about Jesus Christ, usually in caps lock, the online equivalent of yelling. Well, thank you for reminding us of that, New York Times. One of his searches for a sex partner went, Savannah sexy women wanted. I love to party. Tall, Aries, male. Oh, really? Ares. God of War? Is it? Yeah, I think so. And, of course, one of his, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Around 7 years ago, the newspaper story says, Mr. Deere began dating a woman named Stephanie Bragg for reasons that remain unclear. They moved last year to Hartselle, Colorado. a hamlet perched about 65 miles west of Colorado Springs, ringed by mountains. Hartzell calls itself the heart of Colorado. And I have to admit, I've never seen in a New York Times newspaper article the word plunked. Now I have. But Mr. Deere, it seemed. And since when does the New York Times begin sentences with but? I mean, these are supposed to be the pros. But Mr. Deere, it seemed, did not want to be at the heart of anything. He plunked a white trailer marked with a small cross onto 5 acres of empty scrubland he had bought for $6,000 and lived in near isolation with Ms. Bragg, rarely saying a word or waving hello to his new neighbors. Well, damn, isn't that a tip-off? On and on and on. But remember, he's crazy for thinking that, how was it put up here at the top of the article? What marks him out as crazy, because it made it into the very, very earliest parts of the news story, is that he believes he will be saved, he can do whatever he pleases. But, that's not weird. That is standard Christian theology. It's particularly virulent inside the Protestant church, because at least inside the Roman Catholic church, I don't know about the Orthodox. Do they do confession in Orthodox Christianity? I honest to God don't know. Oh, by the way, we have an update from Ron in the only recently frozen north. A Buddhist sin, enjoying Justin Bieber and anyone named Kardashian. Well, that's a sin in any religious system, isn't it, Ron? But I guess there are some things up with which not even the Buddha will put. But let's be abundantly clear about this. And I would be happy to debate any Christian theologian on this planet on this point. Because the heart and soul of Christianity is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And that you can only be cleansed of those sins by the grace of Christ Jesus. The New Testament is replete with multiple verses pointing out the fact that it doesn't matter how well you behave, how good you are. It doesn't matter if you're not saved by the grace of Christ Jesus, you're going to burn, because God is love, y'all. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can obtain the grace of Jesus Christ is to ask his forgiveness, which is presumed. Now, there's nuance in Roman Catholicism. Things like the invention of purgatory, or doing penance. But none of that really obtains in your hardcore evangelical fundamentalist Christianity, which it seems like this guy is probably pretty certainly involved with. Well, I was trying to figure out a way not to end that with a preposition. And evangelical fundamentalist Protestantism is a particular problem insofar as it is a dominant faith system inside the United States. And it's also a problem because it's so easy for the Robert Deeres of the world to sort of DIY Christianity as long as you believe the basics. If you sat down with Robert Deere, I have no doubt whatsoever, although this is admittedly speculative, if you sat down with Robert Deere, I have no doubt whatsoever that if you said, hey, Bob, so do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Absolutely, and if you don't, you're going to burn. So, Bob, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, do you believe he was born of a virgin? Abs-ta-damn-lutely. It says right there in the New Testament, right there in the good book. Mary, a virgin, done give birth to him in a manger in Bethlehem because there's no room at the inn. Okay, so Son of God, born of a virgin. Do you believe that he ministered on this earth for a few years? Absolutely. That's where your Sermon on the Mount comes in, son. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you? Okay, so we got that down. Do you believe that he was arrested, that he was betrayed and he was arrested and tried before Pontius Pilate? Yep, absolutely, because it's right there in the literal Word of God, your Holy Bible. Okay. And do you believe that after he was arrested, that he was beaten, he was flogged, he was flayed? Yeah, right there. I seen it in that movie that Mel Gibson feller made. I sure did like him Die Hard movie. No, wait a minute. Was that Bruce Willis? Yeah, anyway, all in Mel Gibson movies, he winds up getting tortured just like Jesus in it. But I like that Mel Gibson, that and about the Passion of the Christ. Man, they was some good. That's my Jesus. All right, so, and after they flayed him and flogged him and beat him up real good, you believe they crucified him? It says right there that they put him on the tree between a pair of thieves. And back before they did that, did they offer the people a chance to let him go? And they said, they sure did. And they said, give us Barabbas. All right. And so when they crucified him, did they take him down early or anything? Well, what are you, crazy? They let him hang there till he died. Had to do it so he could die for our sins and forgive me after I shot up a Planned Parenthood. See, I'm clean. I asked him right before I surrendered. I said, Jesus, forgive me. And he said, it's done. And so, you know, when I die, I'm going to heaven. You still with me? So after they let him die on the cross, Bob, dear there, buddy, what happened? Well, they took him down. Yeah, what'd they do with him after that? Well, they put him in the tomb because he was dead. He's deader than Pharaoh's cat. All right, so what happened to him? You really don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do you, son? After 3 days, the stone got rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus come a-walking out as big as life, as alive as you and me, except for the holes in his hands and stuff, kept him from eating M&Ms and whatnot. But he's alive. Yeah, and what happened then? Well, he eventually showed himself off to the disciples and stuff and told them, give them the Great Commission. And then 40 days later, he just rose like a helium balloon up into the sky and poof, he was gone. But he said he was a coming back. And then later on, he appeared in a vision to Saul of Tarsus and told him he needed to change his name to Paul. Now, all kidding aside, I want to be absolutely clear. Those are all the things you have to believe to make sure that you get the little token when you die that says you get to live forever hanging out with Jesus and his daddy and Mary and Joseph and all the other saints. And I want to be even more clear about this. There is not a single Protestant religion that says otherwise. Not one. Southern Baptist, United Methodist, Presbyterians, North, South, and otherwise, Lutherans and the Missouri Synod weirdo Lutherans, Episcopalians, Church of Christ, Church of God, Church of God of Prophecy, Apostolic Holiness, various and sundry so-called non-denominational, evangelical cults of personality. Not one is going to say that salvation is unavailable to Robert Deere. And not one is going to challenge his assertion that he was saved before ever he pulled, squeezed the trigger. It was all right there for him. Now, there are nuances of difference and things like once saved, always saved, and whether you can fall out of your salvation and stuff like that. But he believes all the right stuff. He's got it nailed right in. And that's what makes this article about him such a damn disappointment in the New York Times, and particularly makes their clickbait email all the more disgusting. A picture emerges. He was a man of religious conviction who sinned openly. Well, see, the thing is, in Christianity, New York Times, you get to do that. And then at the end of the day, you say, "Forgive me, Jesus." This guy will be doing testimonials from his prison cell. And eventually, he will say something like, "I finally realized here in prison just how wrong it was of me to do that killing, and I'm sorry, and I've asked Jesus, and Jesus has forgiven me." And all the evangelical fundamentalists and most of Protestant America and some of Roman Catholic America and God only knows who else will say, "That's right, he's a gone to heaven, going to be right there with Jerry Falwell and Adolf Hitler." Oh, shit. 6:58, Gerald. You know, had the baptizing and everything. So that's the first hour of Titanic Tuesday. Let's take a break. I got to go get the stress line back from him. Sorry. But that'll be available to us in a little bit. For the time being, though, if you want to reach the program, area code 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, Bob Kincaid Horn, H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn, if you want to participate in the program via Skype. This is listener-supported conversation radio, and yes, I'm Bob Kincaid.
I like to think I've earned my reputation for rushing in where angels fear to tread. I'll take you home and meet the congregation. We'll all get together in my tent. I make a dirty little religion out of loving. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I make a dirty little religion out of loving. Make a dirty little convert out of you. They treat you like a red-headed stepchild and try to keep you nailed to the floor. Join us for the countdown to the rapture. We never turn the sinner from our door. I'll make a dirty little religion out of loving. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I'll make a dirty little religion out of loving. It's a dirty little religion, hallelujah. Dirty little acolyte, dirty little wolf, wearing a fundamental of desire. Can I get a witness to my testimony? Can I get amen from the choir? Dirty little religion. Dirty little religion. Dirty little religion. Dirty little religion.
reputation. I'm trying to take the bull by the horns. I'll show you where I get my inspiration. Where we plow and where we plant the corn. I make a dirty little religion out of loving. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I make a dirty little religion out of loving. It's a dirty little religion, hallelujah. Dirty little acolyte, dirty little one, burn the fundamental of desire. Or can I get a witness to my testimony? Can I get an amen from the choir?
Oh, howdy do. I didn't expect it to end quite like that, but it did. You'll have that, I suppose. Warren Zevon. I thought that was an apropos cap to the filibobster. That is dirty little religion. Yeah. But if you pay attention to the lyrics, you know what? Irony. That's where we're working with that. So this is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, 3 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And, okay, yeah, let's just say goodbye to that article. Right. Because there's more stuff. Oh, there's so much is more stuff. And apparently, Robert Deere's I Can Do Anything, Jesus Will Forgive Me theology, which is in line with a lot of, if not the majority of, Christian teaching. Yeah, it's making the rounds. But of course, I'm sure Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz and Mike Huckabee and Carly Fiorina, I'm sure they will. They'll accuse him of being transgendered again some more. Meanwhile, I just noticed there's a crowdfunding campaign for the Randall Terry Voice of Resistance. We have been threatened by Muslims. Will you stand with us? Please watch the videos below and give. No. But they don't mind. They don't mind fundraising on the backs of the murdered. Not a damn bit, they don't. Hey, and meanwhile, just a little something else. This goes back a couple of days. And I'll go right over to the Skype line in a moment. But this bears sharing. Like I said, the story goes back to Sunday. In what is described as a small, rural, upstate New York community, folks are on edge because of a video posted by John Ritzheimer of Phoenix, Arizona, Stan. In the video, he poses with a firearm and says, and you'll recognize this place, you'll recognize the name of this place. He says he's heading to Islamburg, New York. It's about 130 miles northwest of New York City. You may recall that another individual, another white Christian man, also headed in for Islamburg, New York. He got indicted because he was he'd pulled together a whole cell that was going to attack Islamburg, and when the FBI caught him, they busted him, and then the circuit judge in the case gave him a slap on the wrist. claiming he wasn't sure that what the and this guy had been a Republican candidate for Congress, mind you. He wasn't sure that if his threat to be the standoff gunner and kill men, women, and children and bomb and blow up and burn down various buildings, including libraries, a mosque, and a school, was a credible threat within the meaning of the law. You think the judge has any questions now? According to the New York Daily News, the FBI have issued an alert to law enforcement agencies to look out for John Ritzheimer. Yeah. What a country. And by the way, Carol Baker notes, Randall Terry is a pimp. I think you're being kind of hard on the pimps in the world, don't you, Carol? Let's go talk to Tom from FYI Nation. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I think that's superfluous at this point, don't you?
I don't know why I even asked. It's one of those nice things.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Well, at least I didn't do that. I would have thrown up in my mouth.
Lovely.
Do you mind if I change the subject slightly?
You know what? That's the way this program works. You don't have to talk about what I'm talking about. You talk about anything you want to.
Fair enough.
Did you see the Patriots lose the other night? Oh, it was cool. No, sorry.
No, I didn't. But I'm not a big sports fan. But anytime he loses,
I was just changing the subject is all.
There you go. See, that's what you do to me. You caught me off guard with the whole some say thing because that is the name of my show earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mine. Damn it.
I don't know. Have you paid trademark money to Fox? Because they've been doing some say since they went on the air in the 90s, haven't they?
No, they owe me money.
Okay. Send Rupert a bill, Tom.
I do. He sends it back. You know, I feel like Donald Trump wanting money that, you know, I shouldn't be getting. You know, the $5 million he's trying to extort from CNN?
Yeah, yes.
What is that? I mean, is that just...
He's nuts. I mean, a big butterfly net crazy.
I mean, I know I have a little crazy in me, and a lot of us do, but but this is like what they do, right? They extort votes, they extort what they want from the president. This isn't anything different than any other Republican does. So I don't know what to do with this other than he's nuts. And we already all know that. But the real reason I called was I need your advice.
Are you sure you got the right radio? Hello, Seattle. I'm listening. No, well, I mean, okay.
You call our friend the Donald T. Rump, right?
Yeah, you're right. And that was at the suggestion of our buddy Tom in the Bay Area, who just doesn't even want to give him the dignity of referring to him by his own name like he's an actual human being.
Well, yeah, and I totally respect that. And I've a couple days ago started calling him the Golem. Because it's a media and Republican created monster, and I've been binge watching the X-Files, and because of that, they did a third or fourth season episode about.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is that you're gonna lose about half the people because they're gonna go, really, like in Lord of the Rings.
Well, yeah, and that's what Jeff said, so that's why I wanted to go to you for like you know a second opinion because I don't want to give him the time of day without, you know, and I was wondering where to go with that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different names for him. I know Charlie Pierce, for instance, over at the politics blog at Esquire.com, some of the finest political writing in the country, if not the finest, refers to him as the libidinous visitor.
Okay.
Because he's just he's one great he's nothing but a libido. That's all.
Okay, fair enough. The great hair of the early 90s. That's too long.
The hair. Wait. I think I got it. The hair apparent.
Ooh. That works on many many levels. Now, here's the other question that I have for you, and I think I'm going to use the hair apparent, if you don't mind. Or have you trademarked?
No. No, it's okay. We do freeware around here.
Okay.
And in point of fact, Carol sent me something a little bit ago from a person on Twitter at Mama Snark.
Okay.
Basically, Trump is what would happen if the comments section became a human and ran for president.
Yeah, or caps lock. He's always on caps lock, isn't he? Whenever he speaks.
I'm not sure, but that's it. But I mean, you know how sleazy and nasty the comments section is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, especially if you go into the Daily Mail, which I don't recommend. Yeah, don't. It's like a third grader lives there. So the hair apparent.
I like hair apparent.
And yeah, because he.
Because that's apparently hair.
Yes, and everybody will know his name without saying it, and it's not like the Gollum where you actually have to have an explanation. And it's not quite taking him seriously, but it is. So I think I'm going to go with that because, as you know, I needed a second opinion, and you're my other doctor.
I'll send a bill.
And I'll send it back like Rupert Murdoch does.
Right? Well, exactly. I mean, see, I send the bill, you tear it up. I mean, it's perfect that way.
Exactly. You know, that's how all bills should be paid. But no, thank you, Bob.
You're more than welcome, Tom. I mean, I live to serve.
Because I thought you were going to have a minor meltdown a brief while ago, realizing that it's not prayer meeting Wednesday. And so I figured, you know, a little change of subject.
Well, you can't leave a story like that laying around, but it's all Jesused up and
yeah. No, I hear you because I ended up taking a different approach earlier with dealing with the Ted Cruz aspect of it, where he was saying that all Democrats are the crime givers. The Democratic Party is basically the mafioso, and we commit all the crime. You know, or which I find funny, but where he basically said that to Hugh Hewitt.
Yeah, the overwhelming majority of violent criminals are Democrats.
Yeah, and I just found that funny because he left out. They both did, while saying that there are no ever pro-fetus people who are ever indeed violent, or they don't, you know, smack their women around, or, you know, they're just sweet as pie all the time, you know?
That mm-hmm. But the way that was phrased, because I ran the clip last night.
Okay.
Is, he says, Hugh Hewitt says, you know, I've never met, and Raffaellito says, I've never seen.
Yeah.
Which just creates this logical fallacy that makes Aristotle just gather himself up from his into his constituent parts and start spinning in his grave, and, you know, it just sort of helicopters up out of the dirt and just begins screaming zombie like because that's not the same. It's not the same as saying it never happens. It's saying I've never seen it. But to the mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers out there, it is the same.
Yeah, it must be true because they're Republican celebrities, so it must be true. Now, the other question I have for you is: I actually fear Senator Cruz if he were to get the nomination. Like if Trump
you've seen those news stories about him creeping up in the polls in Iowa, haven't you?
Yes, and I. Because here's my theory about it. He actually wants it. Like, he's been bred for it. The white horse.
Wants it. He's been anointed with Crisco for it. I mean, go look it up. I mean, I remember running the audio on the program a couple of years ago or whatever. His daddy, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the guy who left Cuba and found his way to Canada and never bothered to really apply for American citizenship until his son said, "Hey, Pop, I may want to run for president."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had some ceremony, and there's video of it. If you Google hard enough, and you know, click your heels three times, and there's no place like Cruz. There's no place like Cruz. You'll find it, and in it, I don't just say things, Tom. That's why I refer to him as Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, because in that video, Rafael Eduardo Cruz anoints his son's head with oil and declares him to be the future king of America.
He knows that's not how that works, right?
No, he doesn't know that.
Yeah, that's the problem.
No, don't just dismiss that, Tom.
No, I'm not. I'm
because, see, these people are enemies of constitutional governance.
Well, that's exactly why I'm so afraid of him, because he's more of a fascist than Trump could ever be.
So, you know, if Rafael has anointed Rafaelito to be future king of America, they fervently believe that eventually Rafaelito will become an American monarch, and the Constitution will be done away with, and we will be ruled by God's law as interpreted by Rafaelito.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And he scares the crap out of me with the rise in the polls.
He should.
And I don't, it's frustrating because I can't.
And nobody will challenge him. Nobody will do the at long last, sir, have you no shame to him.
Well, that's exactly it. And
we are so historically blind that we can't even look at this freak and figure out that he is the spit and image of Joe McCarthy.
Yeah, no, he's worse, because again, he wants it and he's anointed, as you said, which is true. Yeah, you know, I'm not denying that at all. The father and the ilks that surround him scare me even more. You know, he can walk away from that Kevin Swanson thing and it doesn't touch him. He can go to the Kim Davis thing, doesn't touch him. You know, he's taken seriously. But yet, a lot of liberals, except for you and maybe Mike Malloy and me, concentrate on a little bit more than just that used car salesman hair and the swarmy face that he has that makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Oh, don't forget the pusillanimous nasal voice.
Well, there's that, but I have the weird voice, so I try not to. That's the one thing I get a little touchy about.
No. You got nothing to be touchy about your voice. It's not about register. Now, if you were calling here and talking here, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the speech classes, all the debate classes. I mean, this guy was the master debater of Harvard University.
Yes, he was.
And nobody ever said, "Hey, Rafaelito, come here. You got to stop talking through your nose, son."
Well, is that his way of doing a fake Texas accent? Is that what that is?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to cover up his Canadian accent and trying to keep from saying "a."
In a boot. You know? You
mm-hmm. Oot in a boot. I wonder if he has to watch hockey with the shades drawn.
Well, it is still... Well, no, he renounced, so he's no longer Canadian. But up until that point...
I do renounce it. And do you renounce poutine? I do renounce it.
Right? Oh, God. But, yeah, I hope I helped some, because you helped me. So
Oh, it's always a help. I love our conversations, Tom.
So it's the heir apparent, then. I think that
yes, and we have a vote of confidence from Jim, not too far from here. He said, bingo, good one.
Yeah. But
there's another one.
What's that?
There's another one. If he wears the Make America Great Again hat.
Yes, I love that hat.
Michael in Madison has pointed out, as long as we already said the funny mustache guy's name tonight, which we did, 6:58, damn it, Gerald. I just got to say, I don't even mess around with T-Rump much anymore, especially when he's got one of his stupid hats on. I just call him Adolf Hatler.
That's not bad.
And Michael says, yes, it lacks creativity, but so does he. I don't think it lacks creativity. I think it's perfect. Adolf Hatler.
Yeah. Or Adolf Hitler when he gets rid of the hat. Hair Adler? No, that doesn't work. That was just bad. But, either way, that or the hair apparent. Though every time I say the hair apparent, I think of a royal family member like Harry or William or, you know, that somehow pops in my head. And then Ted Cruz. So, again, damn it. The other question, I guess, is if I do ever get a check from Rupert, would you like a small purse?
Just send me a photocopy of it. I mean,
right?
Because I don't think that will I don't think that will damage my immortal soul if I had one.
Yeah, that. Well, yeah, I'm going to hell when I die anyway, so that's been secured. That flight is secured for sure. Did you see the recent 700 club questions? I gotta send this to you for church night.
For prayer meeting? Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, I get you and Mike confused. Too great that I could only tell a story as good as both of you. I'm trying though. I gotta.
It is a long journey, Padawan, young Padawan.
Yes. Thank you for calling me young. I don't feel it today. There's a great fitting for me coming out as an atheist this past month. An atheist question about inviting an atheist to the dinner table, and she keeps saying no. So.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I'll get that over to you because it should be heard as many ways as it possibly can. And it's Gordon doing it, his son.
Oh, really?
Yes. Who I believe has put on a few pounds, I must say. I'm sorry to say, but, you know, he has that Chris Christie look on.
Obviously, he's not using his daddy's Sea of Galilee mud mask or his leg press 1,000 pounds protein shakes.
Yeah, that is a damn shame, too. But, I like I said, you seemed a little like you were going to explode, so I figured I'd call in and, you know, get some advice from you. And remind you that some say is mine.
It is. I freely acknowledge.
You burned my ears as soon as you said it there, Bob.
It's all yours. All yours.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Tom.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now. Our buddy Tom from Some Say on of FYI Nation, FYINation.com, and yes, and that means line one is open, the Skype line, it's open to Skype, it's open to phone calls, 304-574-8178. By the way, note along the way. The gay-hating religious community is probably celebrating today. This would have been Matthew Shepard's 39th birthday. But of course, he didn't get to be 39. Instead, he was crucified on a barbed wire fence in some godforsaken remote spot in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see here. What else? Because we got a lot. Here's a little update from Steve in New York. I was talking about Christian theology there a few minutes ago, and Steve says, Catholic salvation. Just to clarify, Catholic theology does not accept that one can be saved once and that's the end of it. Catholicism does not even teach that one must be Christian to be saved. Catholicism acknowledges that there are people saved and among the communion of saints who preceded Christ, never heard of Christ, but who are righteous and act consistent with the Beatitudes. That would be your Socrates type, who invented the whole idea of love your enemies and was declared by the early Catholic Church to be Homo Christianicus Naturaliter, the naturally Christian man. Catholicism, Steve continues, is not fundamentalist. It teaches the biblical stories are often parables, allegories, and not literal or historical. In fact, there's one strand of theology that has a different take on the crucifixion in that it does not believe that it was a necessary event, that Christ came to show people that violence, insult, etc. had to end somewhere, and that one just truly turned the other cheek. Sorry to get too religiously. I understand completely. No worries, Steve. The problem is, though, in fundamentalist evangelical Protestantism, which Robert Deere is, it does teach once saved, always saved. Okay? All you got to do is ask for forgiveness. And forgiveness and grace are also at the heart of almost all Christianity salvations. And so maybe Robert Deere doesn't fit within your definition, Steve, but he fits within the vast number of other definitions that exist in Christianity. Note from Michael and Madison. Wait, I got it. The compromise for T-Rump. It's so obvious. When he's got his hat on, he's Adolf Hitler. When his hat is off, he's the heir apparent. And he says, by the way, here's another stupid hat. Yes, it's the Trump hat, only this one's in white with gold lettering. And it says simply, "Yes, we clan." Ooh, good one. Good one. Stephen New York also points out, subject line, Obama's Kenyan citizenship. You say Cruz renounced his Canadian citizenship. Well, Obama never renounced his Kenyan citizenship. You know, the one that he kind of never had. You know what I mean? Yeah, just saying. That's true, Carol. That's true, Carol Baker pointing out. Technically, everywhere is godforsaken. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go over and check in with our buddy, the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man.
What's happening?
A whole lot of craziness is what's happening. I woke up today to go to rawstory.com, which is a good source, even though I'm not particularly crazy about how to get some of the ad revenue.
You mean some of those sketchy, dodgy, skeevy kind of Newsmax kind of diet weight loss kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about Bernie Sanders, and then you have this, right? So, you know, it seems like a conflict of interest to me. But it turns out in my part of the woods, I mean, you know, Portland has its share of bigots, but Seattle.
Yeah, hello.
In Ballard, where all the Norwegians live, the only place you can get luckfish in this part of the country this time of year, right? They decide to have a Remember the Martyrs Day, which is basically honoring Robert J. Matthews. This is somebody who got into a firefight with the FBI. This is someone who was robbing banks. This is someone who was trying to start a race war. This was a white supremacist. This was somebody who hated the U.S. government.
This is being advertised on what, Stormfront?
Yeah, which it should be taken seriously. I mean, you know,
it should be taken down, but then again, I have a more restrictive view of the First Amendment.
Well, see, I have the same view that you have. But, you know, my thing is like this. After World War II, why is this even a fucking discussion? If people can look at those photographs from the goddamn camps, from the people who survived, and think that a Nazi has anything to goddamn say in a civilized fucking society, they need to have their fucking mind examined. They're fucking crazy.
Yeah, here's the ad for it. They say they won't reveal the location until the day of the celebration for security reasons. But by way of pitching it and trying to gin up support for this memorial for Robert J. Matthews, who, as you note, founder of the order, killed in a gun battle with the FBI in 1984, Stormfront said that their meeting will, their rally, their, oh my God, whatever disgusting thing this is, will feature camaraderie, music, hailing our heroes, and good old goose-stepping. This will be the biggest event in Northwest history as of yet, so let's put the beautiful Pacific Northwest back on the map and make Robert Matthews proud.
Robert Matthews. you know, who they look at as a hero because he died in a blaze of glory. I mean, it was just like something out of a Hitler version of Wagner, you know, died in a blaze. His ID or whatever that bullshit that they came up with from his terrorist group, the Order, it burned into his chest. You know, I mean, they talk about this like as if he was, you know, a god.
Oh, they masturbate over this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, what are we going to do now? I mean, one of the things that came up about the Seattle bit is that they feel emboldened now. This motherfucker went and shot up a Planned Parenthood, kills an evangelical police officer, which seems to be the only person that anyone is talking about. The fact that a vet was killed, I don't hear any of these right-wing fucks saying anything. The fact that a mother who was there to support her friend was murdered and all these cops are shot, I don't hear any of these right-wing motherfuckers talking about anything. But what the NRA is doing is talking about a mass shooting that a black man was involved in, I believe, in Chicago, saying that we really need to be talking about this, not the fact that the majority of mass shootings, the majority of terrorist attacks, the majority of violence is going on in the United States. I could talk about the whole fucking planet, but the United States right now is committed, if you listen to the FBI, if you listen to the Department of Justice, if you listen to Homeland Security, is coming from evangelical right-wing.
Well, look, isn't it true that a couple of days before the Colorado Springs attack, Planned Parenthood was begging the FBI to designate people who attack abortion clinics as domestic terrorists?
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
I believe so. I mean, I've heard that. I haven't seen anything, but I was told that at a gathering. So, you know, is it true? You know, I know for the fact that Planned Parenthood has been begging people. I actually interviewed a woman who works in the industry, who worked under Dr. Tiller. Dr. Chris Newhouse, she's been on my show. So has her husband, who did security. That's how they met, defending Dr. Tiller. And she talked about how every day they got threats, you know, drive-by threats, call-in threats, you know, strange packages and things left by their clinic. We are allowing them to direct the conversation. You got Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz are out here lying their fucking asses off, lying with abandon, and caused this goddamn tragedy. Now, I do not particularly care for Louis Farrakhan or the Nation of Islam, and I can talk shit about it because I fucking grew up with it. And I'm telling you, you know, they've hooked up with Scientology. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of things about them that are just wrong. But let Minister Farrakhan go up there and say the bullshit that Ted Cruz and Trump has been saying. And let one black man do something to one white guy out here. The entire fucking black community will have to pay for this shit.
Oh, and suddenly America will understand that big word I was using last night, stochastic terrorism. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly Fox will learn what it means. And Andrea Tarantula will babble about it. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Angry.
You know, I don't particularly care for his message, but I mean, you know, a lot of it is the same shit that the right-wing people say. But I'm also saying that his, you know, I mean, the majority of people who talk shit about the Nation of Islam don't know anything about it any goddamn way. You have to have a job in the Nation of Islam. You have to be married and start producing children in the Nation of Islam, okay? You have to live on a goddamn razor's edge of what they consider to be respectability, or they cut you out of the group and you lose whatever the hell you gained under them. You know, I mean, people don't know anything about it.
Right, because it's about the self-preservation of the organization. These are organizational principles that apply across the board. The Roman Catholic Church opposes birth control because you need lots of people having lots of babies so you can support a great big church.
Well, yeah, but in Catholicism, except in terms of Judaism, and we can have a conversation about that too, you know, it's not racial. They're trying to bring everybody under the church, right? But with the Nation of Islam, like, you know, as far as they're concerned, my marriage to my wife, because she's a Christian Palestinian, is false. And I'm a self-hating black man, right? You know, because I had no business being with her. You know, my Jewish part, supposed I shouldn't be with who the fuck I'm with. You know, we can have these dumbass fucking conversations. And like I said, the fact that the NOI has adopted Scientology is totally goddamn bizarre to me when you know what the fuck the Nation of Islam is about and have read any of their fucking literature. So, you know.
Yeah, that's where I kind of get a little bit lost. That's like saying the Hindus have opened a barbecue joint.
Yeah, but like I just told you, I wrote my thing, and, you know, and I'm going to try to promote a little bit. F is for fascism. You know, get yourself a copy, whoever's listening to this. I talk about all of this. Fascism, you know, we give it this whole German thing, and we only talk about Hitler because they're white people. So we talk about the Bujadas in French. They're white. We'll talk about the British movement or whatever the fuck in England because they're white. But we're not going to talk about fascism in Africa. We're not going to talk about fascism in the Arab world. We're not going to talk about fascism in Native American groups. It's happened. But of course, it's different with.
Well, angry. How many times have I said that one of the fundamental problems that this country has in terms of recognizing fascism is that we think it has to speak with a German accent and that it has to wear snappy looking uniforms and goose step a lot.
Yeah. So we have
when Upton Sinclair said very clearly, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross.
Well, that's one quote, but I give you another one from a fucking a neo-Nazi supporting Satanist out of San Francisco who is actually still, well, he's a retired now colonel in the United States Army, Dr. Michael Aquino. He wrote, this is in print from him. When fascism comes to the United States, they'll be talking about 1776 and capitalism. And he was fucking right. He was fucking right. Now, they've added the cross onto it. But, you know, again, you and I saw this coming. And anybody that's been paying attention has seen this fucking coming. You had David Duke. You have all of these neo-Nazis who have been in and out of the goddamn media. They own it. When they talk about the liberal media, what fucking liberal media? You, I, Mike Malloy, Brad Blogger, are all on the fucking internet. Trump is on fucking TV goddamn every fucking day. They're promoting him every fucking day. They're not questioning what the hell he's saying. They will say, well, he was kind of inaccurate with that. Instead of saying that he was a fucking liar.
Well, look, I mean, and that's what, you know, that's what makes the Carly Fiorina so egregious. And, well, yeah, Rafaelito Cruz as well. Because it's not that they say they believe, they say it happened, okay? They say that they saw the footage, okay?
But there is no footage.
There is no footage. But they claim to have seen it. I mean, Carly Fiorina got herself all damp discussing it. And the little baby is there wiggling, and they're talking about how they have to keep it alive because they need, you know, they want its brain.
She's a fucking lie.
Exactly. Don't say that she spoke a mistruth. I'm not saying this to you. Don't say that she got her facts wrong. One of the problems that afflicts this country is that we use, and George Carlin got to this long before I ever did, is that we use this soft language, and we say that kind of, when what you have to say is, the woman is, and okay, let's not say the woman, Carly Fiorina is a liar, okay? Carly Fiorina is a liar. Because if you say Carly Fiorina is a liar, and she says, oh, I'm going to sue you, you said I'm a liar. Well, okay, the truth is an absolute defense. The fact that she hasn't sued anybody who has said Carly Fiorina is a liar is kind of de facto proof that she knows she's a liar.
Uh-huh. That's right. She knows. They know what they're doing. And these idiot fuckers are saying, okay, you know what? I hate niggas so much, I'll believe anything you goddamn say. And I don't like Jews either. We just need somebody to say it. The bottom fucking line is someone had to break the fucking ice. And Trump is an arrogant motherfucker. So he broke the ice.
Well, I got a little grief last week from one of the listeners on the Malloy program for not having a sufficient amount of regard for the fact that, you know, Trump is going to prove to be the absolute end of the Republican Party. And well, I call bullshit.
Well, yeah, you know, well, see, one thing is that they're trying to maintain some kind of respectability. I mean, that's what John Kasich is doing. He's trying to maintain some kind of respectability so that they can look, you know, they can look back and say, well, there were some of us that stood up again, you know, against him. But the fucking bottom line is, this has been building up for a few years. Well, actually, I should say a few fucking elections. Now, you've had neo-Nazis and white supremacists, because they like to make that distinction between each other, right? And say that the other one is violent when they're both the same fucking shit. But You had VDEA representatives at CPAC. David Duke has been to CPAC.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, I mean, we're not the racists, but what the fuck do you have them up there for then? You know, what the fuck are they doing there?
No, it's like the Trump hat that Michael and Madison was describing. You know, yes, we Klan. There you go.
Well, I mean, hey, that's
and here's Ted Cruz, Raffaellito. He's been about 8 days before the Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado Springs angry. He was singing the praises of a creep by the name of Troy Newman. Troy Newman is the head of Operation Rescue who took over where Randall Terry left off. And this guy has called for the execution of anybody who provides abortions. He's a serial abortion clinic harasser. And at one point in time, he actually referred, and no, I'm not kidding, he actually referred to an individual who murdered a doctor who performed abortions and his bodyguard. He said he was a political prisoner. Okay? A victim of judicial tyranny. Okay? That's Ted. That's the guy that Ted Cruz is hailing for his support.
Yeah, well, look. Fact. Trump was allowed to get away with using Nazi imagery in the United States in a country that supposedly Jews control. The ZOG, right? The Zionist Occupational Government. And AIPAC didn't do a fucking thing about this. They've said absolutely nothing. The entire Hezbollah lobby has said absolutely fucking nothing about Trump using
Nazi
imagery.
No, and you know what? To me, Angry, that is a measure of the power that they fear he has in him to wield. It's easy to denounce David Duke. David Duke is a goddamn clown, okay? David Duke is never going to amount to anything. David Duke isn't going to go anywhere.
Not anymore. So
you can denounce him till hell freezes over, and there's no price to pay for it. On the other hand, the heir apparent, Adolf Hitler, Trump, T-Rump, well, this guy controls an army of people who will stomp your ass. They're brown shirts. They are direct 80 years later analogs to the brown shirts. And you know what? They're not going to say anything about it because this is real. And you don't know who's going to get stomped.
No.
And as long as Trump's people are out there stomping people of color and Latinos, well, you know, it's like Jerry Clower used to say, somebody else is getting some relief. It is a craven political calculus, but it is, and I'm not specifying that it goes to any one particular group. But it is absolutely real. I mean, Trump, he's already made references to, stereotypical references. You know, I got black guys counting my money, and the only people I want counting my money have curls and wearing little skull caps.
And not one motherfucking Jew here who considers themselves to be pro-Israel, who was anti-Nazi, who supposedly is against xenophobia in all of his goddamn forms because of their history as being Jews. I have Jewish blood. I can fucking say this. I have family in the goddamn camps, too. Fuck them. Fuck them. There's a goddamn documentary called Who Shall Live and Who Shall Die. It was made in 1980, and it is very fucking difficult to goddamn get. I used to have a copy, and it talked about how conservative Zionist goddamn Jews knew that people were being chopped up in Europe, They were in France before the Nazis came. They were in the United States, and they were in Britain, and they were in positions of fucking power, and they didn't do a goddamn thing to defend their own fucking people. Because they said, if you're not trying to build Israel somewhere around the fucking planet, be it Paraguay, Uganda, because they finally settled on Palestine, then they said, let them fucking burn. And that's one of the reasons why we have not seen that fucking film. Because they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to fucking talk about that. We're dealing with craziness out here. These same fucking people that are supporting what Robert Deer did support what the IDF does in Israel every fucking day. And many of them support ISIS. Matter of fact, Dr. Ben Carson says that ISIS, am I right or wrong about this, Brother Bob, that ISIS is the same as the American founding fathers, and he was allowed to get away with this. We're in a lot of fucking trouble when people can make statements like that and their fucking political
angry,
party is
we
not
are
calling
in, this country is in more trouble than it knows. And the only and the main reason that it doesn't know it's in the trouble that it's in is because the cable's still on and the internet still works.
Mm-hmm. And there's hardly any print newspapers. And when I listen to NPR, otherwise known as National Pentagon fucking Radio, all they're doing is saying, well, hey, isn't it really terrible that these things are happening? And wow, look at how the stocks went up after the Paris attacks.
Right,
well,
sure.
Look at that.
But what do you want them to say, angry? They can't. NPR can't speak truth to power. Nobody's going to do the in-depth analysis. You know, I went through all of that business about Christian grace and saving grace and salvation for a reason. You know, the Horn Family Commune congregation has a lot of atheists in it who have never been subjected to the mental abuse that is organized religion. Okay? And so I feel it incumbent upon myself to explain how some of this crazy crap works, because I do have a history with it. And so, you know, if let's say, you know, you don't know diddly about Christianity, and especially evangelical fundamentalist Christianity, and you read that he thought he could do anything and get, Robert Deer thought he could do anything and get away with it, and you go, well, he must be nuts. No, he's not nuts. He is as mainstream Southern Baptist as they come.
What did Kim Davis have the nerve to tell whoever it was that was interviewing her when she mentioned the fact that, you know, you've been married four times and you fucked around and had kids with other men with each of your husbands, so how can you sit here in judgment of gay people and cite biblical law? Whatever.
Well, I wasn't always saved. I'm saved now.
Mm-hmm. My mother was like that. She would yell at the church ladies and people that act sanctified. You know, I mean, she's gone now, and may she rest in peace. But she was like, yeah, fuck that bitch. And I'd be like, Ma, don't say that. She'd be like, no, fuck that bitch. She sucked every goddamn dick in North Philly, and now she wants to motherfucking act like, oh, well, I'm saved. Your daughter's living wrong. You need to fucking tell her what to do. It's like, fuck you. I've known you 30 fucking years. You're a fucking hypocrite. You realize, oh, fuck, you know what? I'm getting old. I'm past fucking 30, you know, 35. Life is getting fucking shorter. I can't live. You know, oh, my God. I better start finding God because I feel guilty about all the fucking bullshit I've been doing all my goddamn life. Every right-wing son of a bitch I know that's a Bible thumper right now that I've known for more than 10, maybe 15 years was a hellraiser. Drank everything, fucked everybody, took everybody's goddamn drugs, stole from their fucking friends, lied, all kinds of fucking shit. Then all of a sudden, you know, they start going to church, they start feeling bad about what the fuck they did, they start trying to get right with their life, and then they start, you know, this point, you know, judgment on every goddamn body. And it's like, hey, man, I remember fucking having to put you in a cab when the fucking cocaine was coming out of your goddamn ears. You gotta be kidding me, man. Oh, well, you know, that was a while ago. Why do you have to bring that up now? Why I have to bring that up now? Because you're a fucking hypocrite, man. That's why I'm bringing it up now. I mean, people make mistakes and shit, but, you know, these motherfuckers go around as the moral avatars of the universe. You got another fucking situation. Rawstory.com again. A fucking church in Tennessee knew that this motherfucker was abusing a 3-year-old goddamn girl. Covered it up and then fucking begged the prosecution to not go forward with their case. Fuck religion. Fuck the evangelicals. Fuck Trump, the GOP, the rest of them, the conservative fucking Democrats to let this shit get this goddamn far. I'm including Hillary Clinton in that. You know, we got a chance here with Bernie Sanders, but people are scared to fucking, you know, make a switch. Because they're scared of fucking Trump. So they're going to go with Clinton. But, you know, I mean, how's that going to help?
Yeah. No. I'm right there. I'm absolutely right there. But we've identified the problem. How do you then convey it to the rest of the wider world? Because, see, the rest of the wider world hears you and me talking in this conversation, and, oh, they're just crazy liberals. Right? I'm kind of stymied here.
Well, you're stymied because you think in logical terms.
Well, I mean, if we could get somebody to wear a billboard that says Trump is a fascist on Dancing with the Goddamn Stars, you think maybe then America would wake up? Or would they just declare a boycott on whoever the dancer was, and maybe one of his brown shirts could give him a righteous stomping?
Yeah, but one of the problems is, look at the mainstream media. You got movies out now. I mean, most of my fucking adult friends have children. And it's hard to explain to them after these games and after these crazy-ass straight-to-video films that they're watching that the fascists and the communists were not working together. They don't know the fucking difference. You just had Trump go and try to derail Bernie Sanders by saying that socialism and communism was the same thing. And these idiots jumping down and you know, clapping to this. What the fuck do they know about it? They've never read Capital 1, 2, or 3. They've never read the Manifesto. They've never read anything from the socialist works from, what, Pierre Proudhon? You know, I could go on with this. They know nothing about it. They've never even read the fucking Wealth of Nations.
No, they just know it's bad.
Yeah, because somebody told them that.
Which is all capitalism needs for them to know, Angry. Capitalism doesn't want anybody learning what socialism is about. For instance, here's an example. Boss Man Wayne and I were talking the other day, and, you know, energy politics came up. This is West Virginia. And he said, all these idiots in this state hollering about socialism. He said, you know what? If the state of West Virginia took control of the coal reserves and declared that every West Virginian would get a check for $5,000 every year out of coal extraction, you would find yourself in a state with 1.5 million socialists. Because it would mean they were getting something. And we, that conversation took place in terms of Sarah Palin in 2008 hooting socialist all over the country, when in point of fact, at the same time she had just signed off on an increase in the oil royalties that go to every Alaskan citizen.
Yeah, but that's capitalism, Bob.
No, that's socialism, Angry.
But it's capitalism, Bob, because it came from, you know, God.
Because it's money.
It's money. Because,
see, that's the thing. Socialists don't have any money.
Well, unless you're George Soros, right, if you want to believe that bullshit. I mean, he's the richest.
Yeah, here we are. Here we are. The season again. And once again, I'm not going to be on the George Soros Christmas card list. I'm beginning to think George hates Christmas or something.
I mean, you know, everything that happens, Black Lives Matter is funded by George Soros. You know that, don't you? How come you don't know the truth? And I'm like, where the hell did you get that goddamn information from? Oh, well, everybody knows is out there. You know, he's a communist socialist. I'm like, he's a communist socialist? And this woman said, he's a Nazi, too. And I'm like, do you know that he's Jewish? And she goes, Soros is a Jewish name? I just picked my coffee, got up, and walked the fuck out of the cafe. Remember when Glenn Beck was going after him?
Oh yeah. That's how the Tides Foundation attack almost took place.
Almost took place. Yeah.
By the way, you got a little anonymous fan mail here, Angry. What you said a little bit ago, they go around as moral avatars. Our anonymous writer says this is a brilliantly accurate statement by Angry. Accurate indeed.
Well, I'm not trying to be profound. I mean, it's just the way it is.
No, well, I mean, sometimes you don't have to, where profundity is concerned, you don't have to try real hard, Angry.
No, man, it's just, you know, it is what the fuck it is. I'm watching Trump, and my wife is like, why are people still listening to this motherfucker? She's like, why are we sitting here? I said, because I just want to see what the fuck he says. And she's not political in any way, shape, or form, but she's like, damn, you know, he's really getting away with this shit. I'm like, well, look, people don't say anything. And I said to her, frankly, you're not political. When people say shit, you just walk away from them. You never really argue with people. You know, and that's what it's going to fucking take. White Republicans who claim that they're really goddamn Republicans of the Eisenhower fucking variety need to start opening their fucking mouths instead of just sitting there and saying nothing and hoping that they win these next fucking elections. That's the only fucking thing. They just want to win. They're not in for justice. They just want their motherfucking team to win. They want their country to win. And that's what Trump, with his populism, is pulling on. And isn't that funny, Brother Bob, that the mainstream media is not using the term populism?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, meanwhile, Ron in the recently frozen north up in Rafaelito's home country, and he says, Bob, after the cost of extraction, there's not enough coal left in West Virginia to buy those 1.5 million hillbillies a gift card to Starbucks. And that's the truth. And that's the way that system was put forward. That's the way it was planned. That's the way it was designed. It was baked in. It was absolutely baked in. And just to run over here for a minute, it turns out, apparently, very few Republicans in Colorado have had anything whatsoever to say about the Planned Parenthood clinic attack. Mm-hmm. There is one, though. Representing Joanne Windholz, W-I-N-D-H-O-L-Z, Windholz, from Adams County, Colorado, which I have no idea where it is, issued a statement. If you have not seen this, I highly advise getting a bucket handy or using the hockey puck, Angry.
Violence is never the answer, but we must start pointing out who is the real culprit. The true instigator of this violence and all violence at any Planned Parenthood facility is Planned Parenthood themselves. Violence begets violence. So Planned Parenthood, all caps, you stop the violence inside your walls.
Yeah, I read that.
And see, there are words that, I mean, this is the internet, and I can say all kinds of words, and there's no problem with it. But there are words that I would like to use with this woman that I will not use because I simply don't use some words. But there are some human beings that just make you want to get down and wallow in the filth right with them. What a nasty, nasty aggregation of chromosome pairs passing for a human being this vile creature is.
Well, she's not the only one. I saw a tweet last night that said that Robert Deere saved more black children than Black Lives Matter has by his act.
Oh, no. That was all over Twitter.
Yeah.
That was hitting Twitter as of Friday.
Supporting terrorism. How many of these people have been rounded up? Any of these people on the list?
Yeah,
they
sorry,
investigated,
no.
You know, they've been investigating Black Lives Matter, right? It came out. The government has been investigating Black Lives Matter as if they are a terrorist organization when you have white terrorist organizations like the Army of God. Pick a neo-Nazi group that, you know about. You just had two terrorist acts in front of a police station in two nights in a fucking row. And, you know, where is Homeland Security? Where's the FBI about this? Okay, they're not even charging these four men with terrorism. They shot five people, and there was three shots the next night in front of a police station, and nothing has really been done about this. And then Robert Deere does this. So three terrorist acts from white supremacists in 1 week.
By the way, I had a note just a couple of minutes ago from Jack in Shreveport who directed me to a story. A petition sent to Attorney General Loretta Lynch 2 days before the Colorado Planned Parenthood shooting asked her to... what? Shooting? Can we not even deal with this honestly on our own side? A petition sent to Attorney General Loretta Lynch 2 days before the Colorado Planned Parenthood white domestic terrorist attack asked her to designate attacks on abortion providers as domestic terrorism. The providers of abortion services were so worried of Republican baby parts rhetoric could be radicalizing susceptible pro-lifers, that they petitioned Attorney General Loretta Lynch to designate attacks on abortion providers as domestic terrorism. Women's advocates say that with that designation, the FBI could prioritize the investigation of clinic violence and bring more resources to the problem. And the letter is here. Dear Attorney General Lynch, we, the undersigned, urge the Department of Justice to investigate the recent attacks on reproductive health clinics using all appropriate federal statutes, including domestic terrorism. Since the release of the first deceptively edited video from the Center for Medical Progress intended to vilify Planned Parenthood and, by proxy, all abortion providers, anti-choice extremists have launched an unprecedented and multi-pronged assault against women's reproductive rights. These appalling acts of violence are a predictable ripple effect from the deliberate and calculated smear campaign orchestrated by the anti-choice Center for Medical Progress. These despicable acts on trusted women's health care providers are not just acts of hatred and violence, but acts of domestic terrorism. We urge the DOJ to treat them as such. Signed, NARAL Pro-Choice America, Abortion Conversation Project, American Federation of Teachers, Atlanta Women's Center, Cedar River Clinics, Center for Health and Gender Equity, Center for Inquiry, Center for Women's Policy Studies, Centerlink for the community of LGBT centers, Medical Students for Choice, Methodist Federation for Social Action, Michigan Unitarian Universalist Social Justice Network. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on, and there's 4 pages of signatories. And you know what? You know, in the Declaration of Independence, where it says, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Remember that language, Angry? Mm-hmm. This is really that. This is really that. Every individual and every group that signed onto that letter has invited themselves, has daringly, heroically, and I would say patriotically, told the world where they stand, and have, by definition, marked each and every one of themselves as potential targets of domestic white-wing terrorism in this country.
Well, look, anytime you stand up against, you know, because it's not, you know, it's not insanity. And I think that's what I was trying to bring out in my long-ass essay, was that they know what they're doing. When, you know, they say, oh, well, Robert Deere was a loner and he was this and that, and he mistakenly, because my wife was like, you know, he mistakenly clipped woman on that voter's registration. She's like, you know, full goddamn well, he is not goddamn transsexual. You know, come on. Come on. And now we find out that he has a history of rape, of sexual assault, of violence, of extreme Christianity. I mean, what the fuck? You know, and we're worried about every goddamn Arab. Oh, well, we can't have Syrians in this state. We can't put them here. Ben Carson doesn't even know where the fucking states belong on a goddamn map, and he wants to be president. You know, somebody somewhere, Brother Bob, wants this to go as far as it's going. Because if the system did not want this, it wouldn't get this goddamn far. You watched here the Occupy movement, which was peaceful.
Got squashed like a bug.
Bug. And what's
because they were a threat to the because they were a threat to capitalism.
Yeah, but how much of a threat were they, Brother Bob? What about the reports that came out? The mainstream news mentioned it, but did not really do anything investigative to go any further than what the alternative press did, which is a shady proposition when you have to deal with bloggers. But they got the original goddamn FBI files who were Freedom of Information Act requests. Who, what, why? Did a lot of work on this, and so did Daily Kos, that there were threats. There were assassination threats against the leaders of Occupy, but the only reason it didn't go through was because, ostensibly, because they couldn't figure out who the leadership was because it was a leaderless movement. And the FBI stopped it, but in the paperwork, because you can go online and find this, Daily Kos talked about this, they reported on this, they blacked out who the perpetrators were, in terms of who the conspiracy involved, in terms of who was going to hurt these young people. And then we watched police in several cities burn books, burn computers and camera equipment, We watched two vets be injured. One now, Scott Olson, I believe his name is. He has brain damage now for the rest of his fucking life. He was hit with a concussion grenade. The people who were trying to rescue him, this is all on film, were also hit with a grenade. This was a fucking Marine. Where are the vets that talk all this crap about the Constitution when one of their own gets fucked up? Two veterans were put in the goddamn hospital. And in Seattle, where they're having a motherfucking neo-Nazi goddamn rally this coming Saturday, a pregnant woman was kicked in the stomach by a Seattle fucking police officer and lost her child. Where were all the motherfucking Planned Parenthood, anti, you know, abortion people then? Because she was a lefty, so she deserved to lose her child. She deserved to be kicked in the fucking stomach. This is the type of bullshit we're dealing with, acceptable motherfucking hatred right now. And what really disgusts me is that there are a lot of fucking people of color that are in on this. Every now and again, you'll see somebody black sitting behind Trump or grabbing motherfucking Ted Cruz's ass because they think they're going to get a crumb from it. And because they're scared, because, like, you know, Dr. Ben Carson, they're trying to outrun the motherfucking lynch mobs. So they figure if they can turn a few of us in, that they'll be safe. They'll get their little spot in the house, you know, that they'll be able to eat the scraps and shit after the rest of the family eats in the corner of the kitchen. And, you know, they won't have to worry about them coming after them. Maybe they have to worry about them coming after their wife or daughter in the middle of the fucking night when they get a little randy, but, you know, they won't come after them. And we all know Ben Carson's a motherfucking punk-ass coward any fucking way. Fuck him. He doesn't speak for any goddamn buddy but his fucking self. Fuck him. So,
no.
Sorry.
No. You got nothing to apologize for. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of this compliance comes from ignorance, Angry. They don't really understand. They don't really know what these people are about. They hear the crazy rhetoric, they hear the dangerous rhetoric, they hear the violent rhetoric, they hear the eliminationist rhetoric, and they think, well, you know, they're just saying that to get votes. They'd never really be like that. Well, we've got plenty of history of people who are like that, who warned people in advance, I'm going to be this way, got power, behaved that way, and the next thing you know, an entire nation's looking around going, how did this happen?
Hey, remember when Kip Kinkle went crazy over here in Oregon State?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, he was this beautiful, you know, child. How could this happen? How could this happen? His grandfather just had a bunch of guns. That doesn't mean anything. They're Christian people. That don't mean anything. You know, I mean, I heard people say that about Dylann Roof. You know, white people talking to each other in the street. How could this happen? How could this happen? You had a motherfucker here in Oregon State. I can't remember what part of the state it happened in. It was reported again on Raw Story, which, again, is a good source for being able to find a lot of stuff in one place. Because I didn't read it in the local papers over here. He took an AK-47. He's a felon. Shouldn't have had any weapons at all, let alone a goddamn automatic weapon. A field-grade fucking weapon.
Yeah, but how are you gonna stop that when all you got to do at a gun show is say, I got the money, and they go, you a felon? No. Well, here's your gun.
Yeah. But he shot into a house full of kids. And, you know, where he lives, I believe it's the mayor, said that he will oppose any gun law that comes across him, that he will not enforce them, that he made a decision, that he's not going to do it. You know, he's like, I'm Sheriff Apile. I'll obey and follow what laws I want to. You know, I'm Lord over here. And you can't really get me out of here because I got enough people with guns to support me, you know. So you can't. I'll do what the fuck I want to do. I'll do what I want to do. I mean, you just had another Republican goddamn head of state somewhere. You know, I forgot where I saw this somewhere. I think no, Alabama. It's an Alabama stand who officially said on his goddamn blog that all of the convenience stores that are owned by immigrants are funding anti-American terrorism. He has no proof of this. You know, I can show him instances of white supremacists trying to motherfucking give money to international terrorists because the FBI has tracked and caught them.
Sure.
These are right-wing, you know, Christian, white people. The white genocide is coming. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to wipe us out. It's like, yeah, but according to the news, homeboy, you're killing yourself. I mean, it was sad for me to hear you talk about your son's friend yesterday. Because anytime a young person takes their life, we all should be saying, what the fuck is wrong? Every adult in the goddamn vicinity should be like, well, okay, what the fuck just happened that this young person decided, you know what, I don't want to be here any goddamn more.
Yeah.
I mean, this is happening more often, you know, I mean, because a lot of them, they can't come out.
Well, remember, remember, in a place like West Virginia, we got the highest OD death rate in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our OD rate among young people outstrips suicide. Okay.
And, yeah.
and you got white wingers here in West Virginia. It's been announced, for instance, that EMTs are going to start carrying Narcan. All right. Is it Narcan that can bring you back from an OD?
I don't know.
I think so. And you got white wingers in the states that, well, I don't think I should carry that. I think I should let the little bastards die.
Oh, really? I'm not surprised, but see, that's...
You know, we got a couple of cities beginning needle exchanges, and again, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians are saying, well, that's against God's law.
Well, hey, Ted Cruz says there's no resistance against women. Misogyny doesn't exist in the U.S. because there's a whole lot of condom sales. He really said that.
No, I know, and that's... It's like that quip earlier from Carol about, you know, Trump is what would happen if the comments section to a blog became human and ran for president. You know, the only way that a Ted Cruz can get away with that is A, the ignorance of the people, and B, the absence of anyone to actively challenge him on any of it angry. Just one reporter, just one media personality with the courage to call him on it and lecture him on it and point out the shamefulness of it, and the bastard probably dries up and blows away. But nobody, because, I mean, you think Rachel Maddow doesn't have the goods on this creep?
Oh, she does, but she's not the only one. I mean, I'm waiting for Wolf Blitzer to motherfucking say something. I mean, you know, here it is, Wolf Blitzer, right, who has defended the IDF. He's defended settlements, you know, and then when he became a news guy, he's supposed to be objective, but, you know, he lets these motherfuckers say whatever we want. We all know that Wolf Blitzer has been rumored to be Mossad, whatever the fuck. Okay, that's fine. But you would think, and again, I'm going to play all the ethnicities in which I carry bloodlines right now. You would fucking think that a Jew would know fucking better in 2015, when you have a position to fucking stop something like this, that you would fucking stop.
Oh, but see, that would that's the other problem. That would violate the holy, sacred, entirely fictional notion of journalistic objectivity. Because, see, journalistic objectivity says that you just have to let them tell lies and you can't call them on the lies.
It's a shame that Mike Wallace is gone, isn't it?
It's a shame that a lot of them are gone.
Because
hell, you know what? It's a shame that Hunter S. Thompson is gone, because Hunter S. Thompson would peel Rafaelito Cruz like a grape. But sooner or later, you've got to have somebody who is inside. I mean, you don't have to, but if you're going to have a remedy to this kind of thing, angry, sooner or later, somebody inside the for-profit media rarefied atmosphere zone has to become just enraged enough or offended enough to call them out.
Well, you know what, though? We have
in person. Like I said, that's why I keep making the reference I keep making. Somebody has got to look at Rafaelito Cruz and say, have you no shame? Because
that
dirty
lawyer?
Son of a bitch has got to know where that phrase comes from.
What was the name of the lawyer who said that during that hearing?
Oh.
Because he was defending one of his lawyers from Roy Cohn at the time.
Yeah.
Who was another fucking closeted son of a bitch who fucking set up gay people his entire motherfucking career, like J. Edgar Hoover and his husband, Clyde Tolson, ran the FBI.
Joseph Welch in the Army McCarthy hearings.
Thank you, Joseph Welch, because he was defending one of his lawyers, and he was just like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Yeah, call these motherfuckers out. But see, anybody in the fucking Congress or the Senate can do this, and they could have done that in 2000 when fucking Bush got in, Because all they needed was the signature of one motherfucking person, right? We saw this at the beginning of Fahrenheit 9-1-1. All they needed is one motherfucking, you know, individual who said the Constitution matters in the motherfucking United States, but none of them stood up. And then they did it again 4 years later. And we got Bush, two rounds of Bush and Cheney, and Obama comes in, and impeachment is off the table. We're not going to discuss anything. We're not going to talk about what happened. We're going to move forward. We're not going to discuss anything. And then we had, then what I wanted to get to, fucking Alex Jones. To leave Alex Jones out of this,
well,
is negligent. You know, because that motherfucker, when he went on with Piers Morgan, who I am not a fan of, but when he went on that goddamn show and acted like a complete motherfucking, look, I know I got a loud mouth, all right? I know I talk like a sailor, but the fuck, man? He went up there and yelled at this man on his goddamn show.
You need to go back to England, you commie.
Tells him to get out of the fucking country and shit, you know, and all of this. And people did not just say, you know what? This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with. I mean, come on. Alex Jones was a fucking nut, is a nutcase. This motherfucker, was it 2000, the Y2K nonsense, was talking about how there were troops in the street, that Russia was attacking the United States with nuclear weapons, that the banks were failing, that the nuclear plants were powering down. Nothing happened. I got the audio, and a lot of us do, and we've made it a fucking point of sending his goddamn, you know, believers this shit. This motherfucker is a nutcase, and people believe what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah, but angry. We live in professional wrestling world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We live in reality television world, and maybe to some it seems like there's no connection, but to me it's as obvious as daylight.
Hey, Quentin Chris said it a long time ago. He was British. He said when he went back to England, he said the first thing people ask you is it anything like the movies? And he said it's more like the movies than you'd ever imagine. I mean, most Europeans since World War II have found Americans to be irrational, self-centered, you know, that's not in reality.
Ignorant. You
know, yes. And proud of it. I've had many people tell me, I've never left the United States. And I'm like, why don't you get a passport? Wouldn't you like to go see something? No. Well, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm like, well, there's a world out here, man. Wouldn't you like to see it? Wouldn't you like to hear the languages, try the food, smell different air? No. Black.
I got everything I need right here in America.
I got everything I need right here. And it's like, oh, come on, man. You know, you have no
curiosity. I ain't got to go to Paris. They got a Paris in Las Vegas. You can gamble there.
Somebody said that to me and was serious as a heart attack.
I mean, I don't need to go see no Renaissance Italy. They got the Bellagio in Vegas.
Scary.
I mean, all them damn water fountains, they ain't got nothing like that, Italy.
Scary.
Sorry,
scary.
I drag out the redneck every time I start doing that, but that's my people.
That's
my people.
What are we to do, Brother Bob? What are we to do?
I think we keep talking amongst ourselves. We reinforce to each other the Horn Family Commune congregation and anybody else who happens to wander in. We reinforce what the nature of the threat is, what the nature of the danger is, where we stand. And the thing is, you can listen to our entire conversation here, Angry, and it's not like we're you know, engaging in conspiracy theories. Every single thing that you have said or that I have said is verifiable with even the most minimal amount of examination. Just a cursory search will turn this stuff up. And yet at the same time, it's stuff they don't know. It's kind of like what Dr. Bill does in the afternoon. Everything Dr. Bill talks about is easily acquirable via the internet, all the Federalist Papers, the letters, everything. It's all there. But people have to want to see it. And I'm spoiled. You're spoiled. The Horn Family Commune Congregation is spoiled. Because we trap ourselves in this bubble where we think that because we know it, because we understand it, because we're interested in it, that somehow or another, the rest of the country should be too. But goddamn, there's 172 channels out there. There's something for everybody. that'll keep you from bothering with learning this stuff.
Well, that's true, but one of the other things is, and let's face facts, if the man who attacked the Planned Parenthood was Arab, Spanish-speaking, a Spanish-speaking Indian from south of the Rio Grande or Rio Bravo, depending on who you ask, if the cat was African, Asian, there would be a flip-out right now.
Oh, you're damn right.
There would have been a meeting called in the Senate. I decided the House Monday morning. They would have dragged Obama down there to make him apologize for letting this person in or for letting him exist, right? White guy? Well, we all know he's crazy.
Let me share something with you. So I just happened to open the newspaper, the state paper of record yesterday, the Charleston Gazette, which recently merged with its longtime nemesis, the Charleston Daily Mail, which is basically, the Rupert Murdoch for hillbillies. And they've merged, so every day their op-ed page is, on the left side is the Charleston Gazette's op-ed, and on the right is the Daily Mail's fish wrap, birdcage liner. And I just happened to be looking yesterday when I saw, and they went to the trouble to print this editorial cartoon, by God, in color. And it shows a bunch of kafia wearing, of course, totally wrong. Maybe they weren't kafias, but they were obviously Muslim radicals. Okay. And there's like four or five of them. They're labeled or whatever. Everybody knows they're ISIS. And they said, U.S. President Barack Obama is coming to Paris. And the next panel says, really? And the third panel says, yeah, to talk about climate change. And in the fourth panel, it shows all the head lopping ISIS terrorists going, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, because one has anything to do with the other. Yeah.
Because, see, that just goes to show that Obama, he doesn't understand what the real threat is.
Yeah, white men who believe in God, who own guns, and are totally conservative, and they're afraid of all of their neighbors.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's the FBI, Department of Justice, the Homeland Security.
And by the way, Carol Baker just came up with a perfect analogy. We are the United States of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's pretty true.
Well, I've never watched the show long enough. I just wanted to find out who people were talking about. Same thing with Mob Wives.
Oh, I know, I know.
The wives of Pick a City. I'm like, okay, what am I looking at? Surgery, selfishness. I want to be a superstar. I mean, Andy Warhol flashes across my mind anytime
Every day. And listen, if you get depressed by watching the obvious wealth of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, well, you could, at least until about a year or so ago, you could click over, and by God, you can bask in the hillbilly wisdom of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo Child. There is something for everybody. And by the way, as Carol notes, she says, now remember, shit goes down, it'll be their guns protecting educated liberal sluts like me. Yeah.
Whatever.
Because them, we gotta have our guns. Because that's fine. All you Obama bots, dadgummit. When he decides to take your guns away, you ain't gonna have none to protect yourself with.
Yeah, but when when Blackwater, otherwise known as Z, otherwise known as Academi, or whatever the hell they're calling themselves after their next major lawsuit, they were taking guns during Katrina.
Oh, and by the way, you mentioned Blackwater Z, whatever. For-profit mercenary armies that were gathered together in Colombia that have now been hired by the UAE to go in and fight a proxy mercenary war in Yemen, those guys were originally recruited by Eric Prince and Blackwater. Son of a gun!
Well, Eric Prince, the Christian prince, I guess who's in competition with Ted Cruz over who's going to be king of God. He lives in Dubai. This 100% Christian American motherfucker lives in Dubai. He relocated there. He doesn't live here anymore. He doesn't live here anymore. His family's still putting out Boathouse Farms. You can see him in the supermarket. You know, the same people that were against natural food, but, you know, they'll sell it to you. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Angry,
you know, I mean,
it has been.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say it's been a magnificent conversation, and I really appreciate you calling in. It's always good to hear from you, my friend.
All right, my man. And, hey, if you guys can support the show in any way at all, just by letting people know that he's on the air, please do. Peace.
Later, Angry. Bye now. There's no one quite like the Angry Indian. No one at all. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm well. Is this Heather?
Yes, it is.
I'm getting good.
Good. Well, let me see. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is going to resign in December, I've heard.
Oh, I thought she was going to resign in disgrace. Never mind, sorry.
Well, I would like to see that, but, you know, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, why would she resign?
Resign in disgrace, huh?
Why is she quitting?
Well, she claims it's to spend time with her children. Well, all right, here's the thing. And you're going to call me a bitch for sounding like this.
I have yet to do that, so.
Well, you know, I know her husband is a football player and he makes all kinds of money now. Well, you know, what happens if he gets in an accident or something and he can't play football anymore? Isn't she supposed to try to take personal responsibility?
Oh, come on, Heather. She's,
I would keep
she's no, you don't make chump change over at Fox. Remember,
oh, I know
they canned the Beckerhead, and he had enough money in between the couch cushions to start a full-blown television network that is now actually on cable systems. And I am told by our buddy Jim via an email, today's sponsor was the Pocket Shotgun.
What? Oh, good Lord. Oh, God, please. Oh, God. I hope she doesn't do that. That's awful.
She'll have the money too. I mean, they threw the Beckerhead off of there because advertisers had abandoned him in droves, and his numbers went in the toilet, and he still had enough money to. I mean, and I've said this before. Go and watch that program. Like, stop up your ears like Odysseus going past the sirens. But go and watch that program. The production values on that are amazing. I mean, it just grabs you. It pulls you in. You can't help but sit there and watch him talk into his old antiquated style microphone, which really isn't, but it's got that kind of a housing around it to make it look all, you know, like he's old timey, and the camera and the way the roboticized cameras and the angles, and they're constantly moving, and whoa.
Yeah.
But yes, the Pocket Shotgun is a real thing. I looked it up when Jim sent me the email. It is by Heiser Defense, and it's I think it's loaded with a 410 shell. If you know what a 410 shotgun is, it's the smallest readily available shotgun shell. It's fairly small as shotgun shells go, but for the freedom protector who just doesn't trust them sissy 45 caliber bullets.
Mhm. Well, you know who else worked at Fox, but then they got fired, was Palin.
Well, sure.
She went ahead and did a little internet thing, and I guess that didn't last long though. Maybe for about a year, and then. She gave people their refunds because I guess people didn't watch her anymore.
But is it so she's not still out there? I wouldn't know.
I don't, you know what? I don't know. I try to avoid her. Well, you know, I try to avoid Fox like the plague, but, you know, I just see things every once in a while on Twitter. And then, of course, Donald Trump decided he was going to make fun of a reporter who had, I think it's called arthrogryposis. It's a congenital disease in the arm.
Right, but yeah, and he mocked him on stage by wagging his arms around like flippers. I saw that video of Hatler doing that, the hair apparent. But you have to remember, that's okay. That's absolutely tolerable inside Republican circles, because do you remember when the stem cell debate was taking place, Heather? And Michael J. Fox, who suffers from Parkinson's disease, said we really need the stem cell research.
Yeah.
And Rush Limbaugh got on the air and jiggled and flailed his arms around and mocked Michael J. Fox. That's the thing. In terms of essential basic human decency, there is no penalty to be paid within the Republican Party for violating it. You can mock people with diseases. You can mock people with disabilities. You can mock women for having vaginas. You can mock progressives for having brains. There is penalty for violating essential tenets of human decency inside the Republican Party.
Oh yeah, and you can roll around in cow manure if your kid's gay.
That's Kevin Swanson.
That's gross, but still, I mean, I don't see how they.
It's almost it's almost enough to make you kind of hope that one of Kevin Swanson's kids comes out gay.
No,
Dad, here's your big wagon load of poo. Jump right in. I don't think you wallered enough.
Exactly.
It's not between your toes, but it's in between your toes, but it's not in your crack. I mean, come on, Dad, waller some more.
Oh, somebody's going to get him for that. I don't know who, but, you know.
Well, it's kind of like the goddess of irony, the way she watches over this program. There she was, that representative from Colorado who said, Planned Parenthood, stop the violence within your walls. And yet, by God, her name is Windholes.
Good Lord.
She's just one big walking, belching, queefing, farting wind holes.
That's horrible, but funny.
It's true.
It doesn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me anymore. And I will not say it can't get worse. Because you told me, don't ever say that.
Don't!
And I'm not going to, because it's just terrible.
I mean, for one, if you dare even whisper that into the ear of the universe, Heather, then you don't know where the roulette wheel's going to stop this time. You don't know whose loaded set of dice are going to come up snake eyes at the great NRA crap table. Because again, it's like Steve from China wrote in his email earlier this evening. You know, you sit resignedly waiting day in and day out, waiting to see where it happens next, because this country has no desire to make it stop happening. And that's, I don't know how it is for you, but that is a terrifying thought for me.
It is. And I will say this, and I probably should let you go in a few minutes after I do, but I heard Carly was interviewed on Fox. She reacted the way I thought she would. I didn't even see it. But I heard on Twitter that she reacted the way, well, let's just say I didn't think she would react that way. I knew she would react that way. So, it's going to take a hell of a lot to get the ones that are in office out of office.
Yeah, it will.
And the sad thing about it is gerrymandering, and that's isn't that illegal?
Well, not since John Roberts declared the Day of Jubilee.
Oh,
not since
Lord.
John Roberts killed the Voting Rights Act. Nothing illegal about it.
Well, I don't want another judge like him on the court. I mean, it's bad enough.
Right, and who does?
Exactly. But I just figured I'd call, say hi, and...
Well, I'm so glad you did.
Alrighty, have a great night.
All right, you take care, Heather. Bye now. Heather calling from up in Michigan. Titanic Tuesday and all, it would be unfair just to stay within the realm of this particular topic. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, Jim, what's happening?
Oh, you. I was worried about you. I thought you were going to have a fit of apoplexy initially.
I think it was going to be impetigo or something. I don't know. Maybe the vapors.
The fan tods.
I'm a big fan of the fan tods.
Yeah, the fan tods. I think that'd be a more appropriate term. But you didn't believe me, did you? Pocket shotgun.
No, I did believe you. That's why I went and looked at a pocket shotgun.
Oh, yeah. And I watched his program this morning, and...
It's twoo,
and I thought, the way the camera was rolling, I said, God, I'm back in my disco days.
About the size of it, isn't it?
That's about the size of it. I mean, guy's just absolutely crazy. And, you know, like you said, he had enough money stuffed in the couch somewhere where he could... come back on, and he's got quite a following. He really does.
Yeah. So how long did you last over there?
To the pocket shotguns ad, and I thought to myself, oh, well, why am I surprised? And how many times have I said that to you on this program?
I know.
But it's just absolutely incredible that, you know, and those things are going to sell like crazy. And I'll tell you, if John Bobbitt had one of those in his pocket and that misfired, I don't think he could recover from that.
No, but wait till,
I'm not trying to make light of that.
No, but wait till some freedom protector tries to get out of his car and it goes off. That's going to be a real blast.
Literally. I mean, I've never heard such a thing. I mean, it's a very attractive, it looks like a miniature cap and ball pistol. And when I saw that, I said, dear God. And then, of course, what's his name? You hit it right on the head tonight. Their hair apparent.
Oh, I was proud of that. I really was. That was right off the cuff.
That was a good one. I got to say that, and my regards to the angry Indian, he sort of initially, when I heard him, sort of had me off balance, but he has a lot of good things to say, and a lot of institutional knowledge about a lot of stuff. I got to give him credit for that. I really do.
Angry is a very wise and informed man.
Yes, he is, absolutely. But... with Trump and this $5 million to CNN, do you think they're going to pay him $5 million to come back on the next Republican debate, and he will donate that to the Veterans Association?
No.
I received a phone call from a veterans, pretensibly a veterans organization. And they had to have $30 or $60. And I picked up the phone, and this guy said, I salute you, sir.
Salute! Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I said, what rank are you? I salute you, sir. And I said, for what? Nobody needs to salute me. I've been saluting enough.
I'm done with my saluting days.
I had. And this asshole, and I said, explain to me exactly what are you trying to sell to me. Well, we want you to give $30 if you can. And if you are really, really intent on your contributions, $60. I know that's an awful lot for a person.
And meanwhile, Jim's still saying, four what? Four.
And I said, yeah, for what? For what? He said, for our disabled veterans. And I said to him, you son of a bitch. And I have his number on my call.
Oh, I believe you have his. I think you had his number from the minute you picked up the phone.
Oh, I did. And I called some appropriate people, too.
I mean, so it wasn't the DAV or anything, was it?
No.
Was it the Wounded Warrior Project?
No. It was, no. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't even give me the name. That's the thing. And I said, well, I've got your number. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call the VA administration. I'm going to call a few people I know in D.C. I still have some tooth in my head, even though I am retired. And I said, I'm going to stick it right up your ass.
Click.
He didn't know what to say because my click went first. I can't believe people would do that.
Jim, just a piece of friendly advice. You got to ditch the landline and go to a cell phone. There's not nearly as many telemarketers in the cell phone. At least that's been my experience.
No. I keep my landline. That's my secure line because cell phones have problems here. And, you know, I need a landline, even though it is Frontier or Frontier, whatever you want to call it, because they are so odd when you call them up and they will tell you by some type of recording that they don't have enough technicians in the area to service the particular...
Well, they're not lying. They don't. They are horrifically understaffed.
Yeah, they are.
And the good union workers who try to pick up the slack, those guys are harried beyond comprehension, Jim.
I believe it. Absolutely. I believe it. You know, I saw something. We're going to change the subject here, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
And it was a documentary about the Heinz Corporation.
Yes.
And, you know, these were people who were capitalists selling a good product in a very rough time. But they really treated their workers well. And it went on to how Heinz 57 got its name, and these were...
Because you didn't want to taste Heinz 56.
No, but, I mean, you know, he just saw, when he was in New York, one of the founding fathers of Heinz saw a train go by and had 26 types of shoes, and he just picked up Heinz 57. But he was always very careful to treat his workers right. The workers were made to change the clean gowns. They were given manicures because they didn't want any dirt on their fingernails and things of that nature. And it's just amazing when you compare and contrast some of the men who made this country through the industrial complex or horrorplex, if I may call it a different word, compared to these people. Well, they were really decent. And it's a pity that, you know, back during the age of innocence or the age of whatever you want to call it, that there were weren't more decent companies like this. And, you know, it's a historical thing away from what we've been talking about. I guess what I'm trying to say is they treated people decently. Even though they weren't union, they paid him a good wage, and they were able to come up with a good product, and also were very, very influential in the passage of the pure food and drug thing. And I got to hand it to the Heinz people. I really do.
Well, that was a time in America, or at least part of it was, when a strong union presence, Jim, made corporate management honest, or kept them honest. And that day is long since gone.
Well, that's true. And also, you see all these ads now about the, what is this, about the wage thing, or what do they call it?
The Fight for 15?
Oh, it's something else that's on the one of the local channels here.
Here in West Virginia, they're desperately running ads to try to get people to stand up against the legislature when, come January, they move to turn us into a right-to-starve state.
Right, exactly. That's what it is. And it's just amazing the propaganda they're putting out. I mean, good Lord, Dr. Goebbels would be proud. He really would. I mean, they're making it look like...
Make no mistake. Again, Jim, they don't care. Come January, the people who put these booger eaters, these birchers, baggers, deathers, tenthers, etc., in office, they're gonna do what they have been paid to do. It's going to be just like the dog sitting by the Victrola hearing his master's voice.
Well, yeah, as long as that check clears, sure they are.
Yeah, I mean, these bastards are going to do the work of the Koch brothers because they were put there to do the work of the Koch brothers. I mean, if a guy shows up with a violin case, and he ain't from the New York Philharmonic, he's going to do what he was given that violin case to do.
A Chicago typewriter.
Well, here you go.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, it's getting more and more and more. As I watch some of these ads on TV and stuff like that, how well packaged these things are and how people are taken in and how they're really they're selling any protection they may have to any type of assurance in old age and a decent wage and things of that nature. All the good things that were at one time were considered the third rail. Well, hell, the third rail's been shorted out. They don't care at all.
No, they don't, Jim. They don't.
And you know, the fact that it's taken 29 witnesses, how many witnesses are involved in Don Blackenstein?
Well, I'm still waiting. You know, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop in that. I don't expect to see him doing a perp walk into Ashland or anything like that.
I don't think so either. I think he'll probably get a hung jury at worst.
Well, the Friday before Thanksgiving week, the jury in the Don Blankenship trial told the judge that they were hopelessly deadlocked.
Well.
And the judge then gave them what is called the dynamite charge and sent them back to work. And that's about the last I've heard.
Well, I think the outcome of that is very predictable, and he's going to get off. And even if he were to be convicted, he would have a right of appeal from that conviction, would he not?
Oh, sure.
And let's see. Could it go to the Ninth Circuit?
No, Fourth. The Fourth. The Fourth.
Fourth Circuit. Well, I'm sure they've got an equivalent on the Fourth, as they do that judge who's on the Ninth who was on TV about capital punishment through lethal injection. Hell, even that son of a bitch said, why bother with all these chemicals and stuff like this? Just shoot them. It'd be more merciful.
In the case of the Blankenship trial, they got through another day of deliberations today, Jim. and said that they're deadlocked, but the judge once again told them, listen, you can still reach a partial verdict, and okay. send them back to work, so they'll start deliberating again tomorrow.
Now, is the judge who is presiding over these proceedings, is she a black female?
You know, I don't know what her ethnicity is.
Because I've been looking at the court drawings.
Not the best I've ever seen.
No, I mean, they certainly give Don Blankenship a chin for every man he's killed. That's for damn sure. He got upset about
okay,
that.
Okay, wait a minute. Time out. 9 minutes before the hour, Jim gets the toaster tonight. Wait a minute. And here's the... Yeah, and some cowbell, too. Don Blankenship has a chin for every man he's killed. You win.
Oh, yeah, he does.
You win.
Thank you. He really got upset about that, about his chin being portrayed as dragging down to his crotch. But, I mean, Lord have mercy. If they can't convict that man here, I'm not surprised either. Because I'm sure they have impaneled that jury to the point that they're just going to drag them down into absolute lethargy and saying, we want to go home. We don't want to deal with this anymore. Let him go. I mean, those jurors have to travel how far to get to Charleston every day?
Oh, some of them are traveling a 4-hour, 5-hour round trip.
For what, $15 a day?
Maybe it's up to 30.
Wow. Times are getting good. Real good.
Yeah, don't spend it all in one place, I know.
That's it. I mean, I hope you give them mileage. But nonetheless, you know, that guy is probably going to walk. And without doubt, you know, he is just absolutely an evil person. And just as sure to God as he shot those people with a gun, he is just as guilty as, you know, he's an absolute murderer. I mean, it's just incredible how all of our institutions are becoming so diluted to the point that they don't mean anything anymore. And will people see that type of thing happening?
But let's be clear. There's value in the fact that a CEO was charged in worker deaths. I think that has some intrinsic value, Jim, because it doesn't happen very damned often. That BP CEO sure wasn't charged for the you know, for the two people who died on the BP Horizon platform. Now was he? And what's his name? Murray of Murray Energy wasn't charged for the people he got killed out in Crandall Canyon in Utah. Bob Murray.
That's precedent number two.
And God knows nobody from Union Carbide has ever been convicted in the United States of the homicide of God knows how many thousands of people at Bhopal.
Precedent number three.
Because, see, we don't usually, it's structurally set up not to do that, Jim.
Well, of course.
I mean, remember the former Attorney General, Eric Holder, was corporate counsel for Chiquita Banana when the Bush administration DOJ wanted to cut a sweetheart deal with the board of directors of Chiquita Banana, who had actual foreknowledge of a murder-for-hire scheme to kill labor organizers in Colombia.
All right.
And they got off with a fine.
Well, there it is. And there you have it.
Yep.
Very sad situation.
But it may, who knows? We may get a verdict tomorrow. It'll be interesting if we do. Jim, have yourself a good evening. I'm glad we got a chance to talk, and I know you made that phone solicitor's day.
Oh, I did. And somebody else was going to make his day too.
You take care.
You be rest assured.
Bye now, buddy. Jim, rounding things out this evening, and some thanks are due out. Thank you, Bob in Texas. And thank you, Jack, both for helping us to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. That is huge. So we'll start tomorrow evening just with a regular little old fundraising goal, and won't that be nice? Thank you very kindly. Thanks to all of you who spend your precious finite time sharing in this conversation. It means so very much. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, in the chat room, which is back up and running again. Yay! The Horn chat room is back. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.